talked about.
You want them? We've got them!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hello?
Hi, we're looking for Dick, please.
A sentence I never hoped to say.
Hi, is Dick in?
There's no way. There's no way to ask for Dick without appearing gay.
There really isn't.
Kevin, I can't decide between a fat joke and a dumb joke. Boom, roasted.
Stupid hair. What grown man has blonde hair?
F you.
I have one thing to say. All girls are shady.
Whoa. There it is.
Manure.
And now.
Okay, band meeting. Brett.
Yes.
Jermaine.
Also yes.
Murray, present. Of course. Right. Oh, yes, item one.
Our feature presentation.
Love that show, love that guy.
Oh, he's the best.
I'm so excited. I think he's my favorite character on television.
He's up there. Flight of the Conchords on HBO is that show, and Rhys Darby plays the manager of these two guys that are in a band.
Murray,
yeah. And he is great.
Yes.
And we have him on the show today.
He's coming in today.
Yes.
Murray, please don't let him be a dick.
I'm sure he's not.
Who are you talking to? Do Lisa and I have any option in that?
I'm just wishing out loud because you know how it is when you meet people you admire very much.
Sure.
You want them to be, you know, you want them to meet your expectations. I want him to be Murray. I want him to be Murray-like in real life.
Right, but he isn't Murray.
Well, he's not going to be Murray-like.
Right.
But that doesn't mean he's going to be a dick.
Right.
Yeah.
But Bean just said he wants him to be Murray.
I do. I want him to be that kind of, like, nice, positive, fun to be around kind of guy. And if he comes in and he hates his life and he hates us and he's bitter and mean, then it's gonna dampen my enthusiasm for my favorite character on television. That's what my fear is.
Wow. You got a lot of trouble.
a lot of pressure on you.
A lot of real pressure. A lot of real fears.
You know how it is. You don't want to meet people you admire and then, you know... Now it's tainted because they didn't meet your expectations. That's all I'm saying is I love him so much that I hope I still love him as much after we meet the actor who plays Murray today.
Yeah,
that's
me too, Bean.
I do too.
See?
Very worried about that.
Yes.
Hey, 1-800-520-1067. It's a toll-free telephone number. What you do is pick up the phone and you give us a call and you get on the air. Before we get to your calls here in just a moment, Kevin, something else for you to be worried about. Story out of Bolivia yesterday. 42-year-old man falls asleep under a tree. Just, you know, hanging out, having a good day, taking a little siesta in Bolivia. What do you suppose happens to him?
Rat ran up his ass.
No!
Oh.
Bitten to death by ants.
The summer of death!
How do you die by ant? It seems like you can start getting bitten, but then you can run away. What is that sound that I hear now?
Seriously.
What is it? It sounds like crickets or something.
Yeah, it does sound like crickets. Is that crickets?
Is that coming?
Are you guys talking to me?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's a snoring dog.
No, there's no dog in here.
You have your door open.
I do have my door open.
It's crickets.
Is it crickets?
Yeah.
Loud crickets.
That's so funny.
Those are crickets.
Don't you realize that you're being eaten by ants and just stand up and walk away?
Well, he was asleep, remember?
Yeah, but once you get bitten, don't you go, hey, that hurt?
Well,
Santiago Ortiz apparently had been drinking before sitting down below a tree. It's a tree called the Palo Santo, a type noted for its aromatic wood, and it's for hosting a particularly aggressive sort of ant. So when the police reached the scene, the man was already dead, but the swarms of ants were still crawling across his body.
Awesome.
Like army summer ants.
Death.
Right?
The summer of death.
I wonder if they were zombie ants.
Yeah,
how do we even know they were alive? Wow.
How
do we know? Now, this dude today is starting to turn.
He could be a zombie.
Now, remember when my wife was going to Africa and I secretly hoped that she'd be killed by a hippo? Because what a great story to tell for the rest of my life. Oh, what happened to your wife? Well, eaten by a hippo. I mean, you'd never, ever run out of that story being awesome, right?
Right.
Right.
Not as awesome if your dad was killed by ants.
Yeah, because people go, what? What a weenie.
how slow was he?
How could you not get away from ants?
Right, exactly. But anyway, I know that Kevin has been keeping his eye on the impending ant invasion. You know, there's that colony down in Argentina that's apparently, you know, the size of, 100 football fields or something growing.
It's a mega colony.
Dear God.
It is. So now add this one to the list because it's so far it's ants one, people zero. That's all I'm saying.
The animals are taking over the world. That's the problem.
They are.
Yeah. Monkeys right. taking over the world. You see new stories each day that confirm that. That's monkey that true. Was throwing rocks, they determined that it was planning ahead and all kinds of stuff like that. I'm telling you yep. right now, we're going down hard and fast, and no one's listening. When it happens, finally, everybody's going to go, wow, that guy was on to something.
Too late.
why did we listen to Kevin? We were conditioned after all those years of Kevin having nothing important to say that we just ignored him. And we should have actually listened to him when he said the animals were taking over.
That's real talk right there, man.
All right. Your phone calls now, 1-800-520-1067. You can call about animal stories because they are taking over the world.
Yeah.
So perhaps you have some proof of that, or TV shows that you saw, or stuff in the news that you don't think we saw, or questions that you have for us. 1-800-520-1067. You call, we're going to put you on the air, and we're going to give you a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
All right, I closed my door, and now I'm just going to burn to death because it's
all right. Oh well,
just letting you guys know.
All right, burn.
Went down and looked at air conditioners yesterday. Too loud. Can't have one. So I'm dying. All right, how about a pair of tickets to the X Gate? No, that's not right now. How about a pair of passes to the advanced screening of Funny People, which is a hilarious yet touching new movie starring Adam Sandler and Seth Rogen, directed by the great Judd Apatow. It is going to be on Thursday, July 30th. You get a chance to see the movie. So give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067.
I read a thing about Judd Apatow in the Entertainment Weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And was talking about this movie. And they referred to it repeatedly as not a comedy, a drama.
Mm-hmm.
Repeatedly.
Right?
Like, that's the main focus of that movie is a drama. It isn't a comedy.
Yeah. I was kind of getting that from the commercials.
You get
a vibe
that it's a mixture.
Yeah.
But they went out of their way to say not a comedy.
Not so much a mixture at
right,
all.
Right.
Okay.
So, but it looks fantastic, and the cast is amazing, and it really looks good. All right. Let's start with Shane. Good morning, Shane. What's going on?
What'd it do? Yeah, I was watching the news right now, and proof that animals are taking over the world. I've seen a monkey stealing from a plant store. He was throwing items over the fence to somebody.
I saw that story,
what?
Too. It was premeditated crime from a monkey.
He was stealing stuff from a plant store and throwing it to a person on the other side of the fence?
They didn't know. They didn't say if it was a person or another monkey. I'm assuming it was the person that trained them.
Wow.
And in that article, they don't even mention that there was a monkey driving the getaway car, too, by the way.
This is unbelievable. Yeah. You know all these scientists and all these animal behavior experts that work with animals? They all go, oh, we can train. Stop training these animals.
Well, exactly. I think the thing is they're so much smarter than we had
right.
any idea.
If they're going to start holding up banks and stuff, we're in trouble.
Yep.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Whitney. Hello, Whitney.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Whoa, with right. the language, young lady.
You can't say F and A. You can't use that language. But go ahead. Thank you.
You guys excite me. What can I say? Anyway, did you know that employers are now checking your Facebook? Like, if you have a job and they want to know your real life, they'll go in there and check your Facebook.
Yes.
And I think
yes.
it's really messed up.
They do that. They check your Facebook. They check your MySpace. They check anything that you put online. They go there and find out what kind of stuff you do.
But no one uses their real name on MySpace. Facebook, you know, it's like... use your real name and stuff. People know you. But anyways, that's pretty much it. I love you guys so much.
Thank you very much.
I'm so happy to be home.
Can I ask, Whitney, has there been a problem with you and your Facebook? Something that came up that maybe your employer didn't appreciate being online?
Yes, I do. I appreciate it a lot.
No. What I was asking is, did you get into some sort of trouble because of your Facebook page?
I'm sorry. The phone's breaking up. I'm on the TV.
Oh, all right. No worries. Thank you for the call.
See ya.
Welcome back. She must have, because it sounds like she just came to that realization.
And then went, oh, dear God.
And we've been warning people for a long time. That's happening, and it's happening every day.
Yep.
Twitter, same thing. Somebody's going to get fired from Twitter, and they're going to go, what? That was my private, but I wasn't. And that's going to happen. April, good morning.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. What
Hi,
April.
Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
I just want to say that my cat is a serial killer.
Your cat? Is a cereal.
Every single day when I wake up in the morning, he brings me a dead bird.
Aww.
That means he loves you.
Yes.
Is that
yes.
what it means, Bean?
Yeah. I mean, that's the ultimate compliment. If an animal gives you their kill, that's their way of showing deference to you.
Aww.
Yeah. My mom only wishes, though, that he would bring me doves and pigeons. At least they'd be edible.
I was going to ask if you sat down with the cat and had a meal then.
No, it's weird because he only eats dry food. He doesn't. He refuses to eat canned food. You know, people food. He doesn't beg. Nothing. He just eats canned food, and I guess he just gets his wet source from the birds that he kills every day.
How about that?
Yeah,
yeah.
And he's
right.
Just the precious little thing.
Yeah, that's what you think.
Well, they do. They say cats are really destroying the songbird population.
Really?
Yeah.
And it would be nice if he would bring me like a head of lettuce or something. Because
yes.
I'm a vegetarian.
But
a head of lettuce.
I'm sorry.
Well, first of all, what's up with that? But second of all, that's on the birds, though. They can fly. There's no excuse for them ever to be eaten by a cat because they have an escape route.
No, you know, what's funny is that I think he really likes just to play with them because they're never, like, gutted out or anything. They're just, like, all defeathered.
Yeah.
Aw, this is awful.
Yeah. Well, just another reason cats blow.
Yeah.
Right there.
Or cats
dogs
rule.
Never do that.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank you, April. We appreciate it.
There was one time back when I had my cat, Ralph, before he got eaten by coyotes, and we were looking outside at just a beautiful bluebird on the fence one day, just admiring what a spectacular-looking bird it was. And while we were looking out the back window at this bluebird on the fence, Ralph just nailed it. Just out of nowhere, he flew through the air and just killed him in one second.
I like it.
And it was so sad.
All right, let's go to Charlie. Hi, Charlie. What it do?
What it do, it's me.
What it do?
Hey, have you guys heard of this website called iDoser?
iDoser, like,
I-Doser?
As in the I, the letter I or E-Y-E?
The letter I.
Okay, no.
No.
Mm-mm.
What it is this website, they sell these audio tracks that when you look into them, they make you feel like you're on certain drugs or have certain feelings. It's this legal thing, and I was actually wondering if Omar has done it before.
So you're saying that you listen to music that makes you feel as if you're on weed or you're on some other type of drug?
Yeah, they have like LSD, they have weed, as you said, they have so many random ones. They have this one, like Lucid Dreams, and it's really weird.
Huh. Does it work? Have you tried it?
I've listened to a few tracks. I listened to the acid one and the mushrooms one, and it didn't work at first, but I listened to it the second time, and it was like an A-bomb. I just blasted off for a second. It was
what?
Wow. Not like you were back in Nam.
Hello?
Oh.
Well, that's the strangest thing I've ever heard of, and I can't imagine it works.
I know. You got to try it out.
All right.
I think someone wrote down the website or something like that, but you can...
Yeah, it's i-doser.com, and it looks like they have an application for the iPhone, or you can listen to it, listen on your computer or whatever. But yeah, there's a whole website here. Mood pills, hash, bud. It's a mood enhancement replacement is what it is.
Yep, it's pretty great. That's all I wanted to say.
All right.
Well, check it out. Thank you. I mean, it's
good
no
tip.
pornfortheblind.org, but the internet does continue to
what
amaze
is us. Yeah. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
We were talking a little second ago about Rhys Darby, who plays Murray on Flight of the Conchords. Very excited to have him in.
Absolutely.
Oh, I hope he's Murray-like.
He does stand-up, and we're going to talk about that as well. We're going to talk to the King of Mexico and find out how things went on Step Up 3D.
Oh, that's right. He was in New York yesterday.
He was in New York yesterday filming that.
Following his tweets. He seemed to be very happy with it. He says he's now a star.
He better be dancing. That's all I care about. If he's not dancing in some way, then I will beat him about the head.
The king also tweeted Haley from Paramore this morning, who's going to be on our show this afternoon, and said, "Don't be too sad that I'm not at the station today."
Wow.
Because you know that's going to break her heart, right? If her boyfriend Dave isn't here.
Yeah, that's how he sees it.
That's tweet abuse right there.
Thanks for that info. Bean on the program today.
Oh, how dare you.
Movies you don't think are funny in the 6 o'clock hour. Seems like we sit around and we have conversations where everybody starts talking about one movie, and it's kind of 100% agreed on that this is a classic comedy. This almost every, there's never everybody, but almost everybody finds this movie funny. And then someone will go, "I didn't like it much."
And then we attack them.
And then we attack. So that's what we're going to talk about in the 6 o'clock hour, movies that you can't imagine why everyone else seems to love.
Yep.
But that happens. Bam Margera's 4-Day Bender, I saw last night at the Troube, and it was very good. We'll have details coming up on that, and we're going to talk X Games, which are a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
X Games, next weekend, we're going to talk to Brian Deegan. from the Metal Militia. So that is coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And K-Rock's Road Trip USA, stop number 2, no doubt, in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Nice.
Your chance to qualify for that coming up as well. Ralph's Showbiz Beat, isn't it?
We got an update on our friend Bam Margera coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That is one of many showbiz stories that we are keeping an eye on. And Ralph's got the rest of them for us right now with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Hey, what's up?
What's happening?
It's on.
What's on?
It's on like Donkey Kong. New Hollywood feud.
Yes, I love these.
Seth Rogen versus Entourage. I don't know if you saw the episode on Sunday night. I guess it airs on Sunday nights.
Yeah.
I watch it DVR, so I'm not really sure what night it airs. But they mentioned, they had a little debate amongst the four guys there whether Seth Rogen could ever actually land a Katherine Heigl type in real life, other than his movie Knocked Up.
Right.
And they said, oh, his ugliness is oddly fascinating. So they addressed this with Seth Rogen, and Seth said, yeah, those guys are a-holes.
Yeah.
I ran into Matt / Kevin Dillon in a Starbucks, and he's like, you know, I have to kind of apologize because apparently the guy who created our show doesn't like you so much. And I said, well, I have reason to believe that Doug Ellen is a moron, from all I can understand, so it makes perfect sense he doesn't like me. Luckily, I never have and never plan on watching Entourage.
Doug Ellen is the creator of Entourage.
Yes, he is.
All right.
Meow.
You know, it's funny because, I mean, that's a silly feud, but it's funny because everybody had that conversation about Seth Rogen's appearance when he was in that 40-year-old, was it the 40-year-old virgin or Knocked Up? He was in Knocked Up. Everybody was like, Seth Rogen couldn't get Katherine Heigl. Are you kidding me? We all talked about that.
That's why they were drunk, man.
Yeah.
It was a genius plot point. Yeah, everybody was drunk at that moment. It made perfect sense.
I am sensing a little bit of an Entourage backlash from some people lately, by the way.
Well, it is, I still find it entertaining. However, it is sort of the same show over and over
again.
It is,
and there's not there's very few likable people either. They're all kind of
there's not a lot of variety in terms of evolution of those characters. It is basically the same premise over and over again, but I think it's well executed. It makes me laugh. So it's not a lot to ask for. Speaking of which, the guy got a little aside here. Can we talk to Hollywood? Can we call the president of Hollywood?
Is there one?
And ask them to pass some legislation in Hollywood Congress?
What is it that we are trying to get through?
I would like there to be legislation in Hollywood that says box sets of TV series.
Yeah.
You don't have to put the opening song, the intro of a TV show on every freaking episode that you're watching. You don't need to watch the Entourage, them driving, driving in the car, and then everything, and then the episode starts. And maybe you're going to sit down and watch two or three in a row. Second episode, you don't see them driving the car. I know what I'm watching.
Right.
It's Entourage. I got it. Move along.
You do watch it differently.
Let's get to the show.
A bunch at the same time.
Understood. Yeah. Entourage. Seen the opening. Seen it all the time. Don't need it on every episode. 10 episodes per disc. I don't need the opening sequence of every episode.
When I was watching The Wire, and I watched 6 seasons on DVD, the opening is 3 minutes long.
And you got to click next chapter, password. And then, and sometimes the beginning of the show is butt ended up with the opening sequence, so if you hit next chapter, you're in the middle of the story.
Yeah.
So you have to go back, and then you have to actually fast forward and watch to see when the opening sequence ends. We don't need that.
Yeah.
We don't need it. I'm saying we don't need it.
I'm saying there seems to be a way you could handle that, though. Doesn't seem like it's that big
a
deal.
But it's a pain.
I'm not saying it isn't.
But I'm watching more and more TV from box set collections of shows, and every episode has the opening sequence all over again. The first one on the disc, I can see you see that, right? That's the opening sequence. And then just go on and tell the stories.
I thought that my guy who got killed by ants had a bad day until I heard what Ralph had to go through with his DVDs of Entourage.
I'm just saying.
He had to watch the introduction more than once.
Just saying we don't need it. It's unnecessary.
I agree. It seems like it would be easier.
Then let's propose it to the president of Hollywood. That's
there
my
isn't
point.
One, though.
There
There's no
is.
President of Hollywood.
I saw the president of Hollywood.
And if there was, they wouldn't take our
Talked
call.
Talked to a guy Perry once in something called the Perry Project.
Oh, well, that guy,
I've seen that happen. Britney Spears is in big trouble.
Uh-oh.
Big-ass trouble. She is getting death threats.
Oh, man.
And receiving threatening emails while on tour. The sick perpetrator behind these threats promises her she will be shot once she arrives in Russia.
Dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's going to Russia, first of all?
She is going to Russia to perform some dates on her circus tour. And she also, to make matters worse, her security detail believes that her two young sons are also being threatened.
Wow.
So currently she is traveling through Europe with what they say is a small army of security. And she said that she plans to send her kids home after she polishes off those shows in the former Soviet Union. Well, that's a good idea. Send the kids home after the death threat country.
So she's taking the kids anyway?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
So there you go. Finally, worst parent than Michael Jack. Found one. Britney, by the way, may be back in control of her own life and affairs soon.
Is that wise?
Apparently, there are reports that her father, Jamie, plans to ask a court to review the current conservatorship arrangement next November, this coming November, because he thinks that Britney is strong enough now to fly on her own.
Huh?
That little bird with the broken wing is all healed up. She's ready to go out there on her own and handle her own life again. Either that or dad is at an ass full of babysitting her.
So done with this.
Here, just go. Here's some drugs, here's an umbrella and the hair clippers. Go knock yourself out.
Done with you. Who would have ever imagined that this circus tour would be such a huge hit with, you know, besides the fact that she lip syncs, which everybody kind of accepts with Britney, she gets great reviews for the show. People seem to have a great time. They keep adding dates. I mean, she's really back.
It is surprising. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Well, she's a good-looking broad who can sing and dance a little bit. That's entertaining. She's got fans. The album was not a big hit, though, right?
I don't know.
I think it did pretty... I mean, it had two big top 10 singles.
I'm still not convinced. Lindsay Lohan! Oh,
yeah.
Still battling with her on-again, off-again girlfriend, Samantha Ronson.
Still? Oh, really?
Man,
move on.
Lindsay Lohan strikes me as just a bag of fresh hell. Just dating her must be just a nightmare. She, Samantha Ronson, apparently was out to dinner with the actress Drea Di Mattia from The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Played Christopher Molisanti's girlfriend on that show. Yeah. Adrian, remember? Yeah, how about the bell? Anybody? Bell?
You think? Okay.
What? Yeah, what do you mean, do you think?
Do you think?
Yes.
I never found her attractive at all, but I'm willing to give one for the room, sure.
What a waste of testicles you are.
good, great body. Rough face, though.
Not at all.
Rough face.
Not at all.
Just give him my opinion.
She ain't going to be in Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition.
But sexy as F.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so they're having dinner, and when she came out, Samantha Ronson told the photographers that Drea Di Mattia was one of her best friends.
Uh-oh.
Well, Lilo didn't like being left out of that little trio. And so she turned up at Samantha's home at 6 a.m. in the morning on Monday after hearing the news and was pounding on the door demanding to be let in.
What a mess she is.
Then they were heard yelling at one another inside the house, and Samantha was spotted throwing clothes out of the window that they believe belonged to Lindsay. And then apparently they came to a resolution because Lindsay, once things quieted down, apparently stayed the night and was seen leaving the next day.
Oh,
just drama 24/7 with that woman.
Stop it.
Samantha needs to stop answering the door.
Yeah, true.
Or what I would recommend is put one of those bouncing Betty landmines right under the welcome mat.
It's a good idea.
So she steps on it, she hears that telltale click, and then boom! Pink mist. No more problems. Today's celebrity birthdays, Terrence Stamp. Kneel before Zod!
I don't know what that is.
He was General Zod in the Superman movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, he's a badass. He's a great actor. He's been in a bunch of stuff. He is 71 years old today. Comedian, actor, director Albert Brooks celebrates his 62nd birthday. One of my favorites. You know, sometimes I wonder about the business we call show. And I say, how does a guy who seems to work so sporadically, a la Albert Brooks, make a living? How does this guy pay his mortgage and his bills and buy stuff? And I wonder how these people who... I mean, Albert Brooks, great guy, has made a string of great films. I can't tell you what the last one was.
He did a bit on Weeds, remember?
Well, I know. He does guest star appearances from time to time, but that doesn't pay that much, even if you're Albert Brooks.
It does seem like his movies are 5 years apart, at least.
Yeah. And not big budgets. Right. He's not making an ass load of money making these movies. How does he... do they just know how to invest it or something? Because some of these people just seem to go along for years sometimes without actually working.
That
I wonder where the
is,
income comes
and
from.
And they don't live big, you know? They live like normal people.
Don't know.
Yeah, even normal people, you need a steady stream of income usually to keep your nut every month.
Maybe he hooks.
And
Maybe he hooks.
He's not out there doing stand-up or writing books or any of the other things that some people will do in between projects. You're right. It's he just acts and infrequently. That's a great question, Ralph.
I wonder if you'd like to have sex with me.
That's what he's saying on the corner of Santa Monica and Highland right now.
I can't pay.
I'm sorry. Can I hear Robert Brooks
again? No, you cannot.
Willem Dafoe, another great actor, is 54 years old today. Kenneth? What's the frequency, Kenneth?
Oh.
Keith Sweat is 48.
Yeah.
David Spade turns 45. John Leguizamo, also 45. Franca Potente from The Bourne Identity and from Run Lola Run, she is 35. And Selena Gomez from The Wizards of Waverly Place is 17 years old today.
Oh.
Isn't that cute?
17.
I'd like to give her a lollipop.
She's a little girl. I'd like to give her a lollipop.
An actual
Stop
lollipop.
Looking at me that way.
All right.
You know, like a Charms blow pop. Or,
okay.
Or, you know, one of those big ones, the big all-day suckers.
Right,
you
sure.
know, a lollipop.
Multicolored. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Our friend Bam Margera has been in the news. Do you know the name Bam, you guys? Started out as a professional skateboarder, became famous under the CKY brand. He was on MTV's Jackass, of course, and in all the movies. Just a great guy. We've had him on the show a ton of times. He puts his parents through more abuse than anyone I can think of.
Yeah.
The stuff that he does to... I mean, if I were his parents... It's Phil and April, right? Yep. I would be afraid to go out to dinner at night because I'd come back and I'd find that there was a skateboard ramp in my living room.
Yeah,
I
on mean, a daily basis, too, it seems like.
Abuses their house. Anyway, great guy, a lot of fun, got a hot wife, but he was in the news for the wrong reasons this week because we saw the story break on TMZ a couple of days ago. He ended up being rushed to the hospital. I guess his wife, Missy, called because he was unresponsive. I mean, we had some real concerns of an overdose or something like that.
Yeah.
But apparently it was just a bad combination of maybe some Ambien and some drinking and not enough water, enough.
That's what happens on a drinking binge, by the way.
Yes.
There's a picture on TMZ.com of Bam Margera with a thumbs up holding a little happy face balloon. Mm-hmm. And he sent it to them to make sure that they knew that he was all right. But we thought we'd check in with Bam and find out just what's going on with him.
Okay.
Hey, Bam.
What's up?
How's it going?
Yeah, it's all right. How are you?
Well, it's good. We had a little scare when we heard you were rushed to the hospital on Sunday.
Yeah.
For an overdose.
It's no big deal. I was just partying a little too hard.
Yeah. You know? I mean, a four-day bender, though, is more than just a couple of extra drinks one night. I mean, that's, you know, you're getting into pretty serious territory there.
It was pretty awesome, though.
Right.
I can't drink alcohol anymore because it's done. We did the flaming waterfall of whiskey, and it burned all my, like, throat and my tummy up.
Right.
So I have to, you know, do all these extreme stunts to get hammered. So I did the, you know what an enema is?
Yes.
Yeah. I did the ginema.
Oh, man.
And they put a tube in my pooper. And
right, we got it. We got it.
What are you doing there, Bam? Bam, what are you doing?
That's Cradle of Filth. I had to move in.
Yeah.
They're living in your parents' house now?
Yeah, they're in Don Vito's room.
So you had a four-day bender. You said you blamed it on marital problems, telling people, I may get a divorce, booze helps.
Yeah, so I did the ginema, and I needed a little pick-me-up, so then I did the cocaine catheter.
Oh, man.
They put a tube in my pee-pee.
Yeah.
And then they put cocaine in it.
Right.
Yeah, that's a... Oh. What,
Yeah.
Is that Cradle of Filth again?
Yeah, they live in Don Vito's room.
All right.
Yeah.
Right, that's what I heard.
But so, I'm scared of needles, and I wanted to, you know, to come down from the cocaine catheter. I'm scared of needles, though. So I did pubic heroin.
How does that, I'm afraid to ask, but how does that
I
work?
I shampooed my pubes in heroin, then I ate them.
Okay.
Woo!
Then you have to go to extraordinary lengths in order to get a high these days, it sounds like.
Oh, you guys should have been here for the PC penis.
Would rather not, thank you.
Son made a bathtub full of PCP and I dipped my wiener in it.
Right?
Yeah.
It's important to remember to drink plenty of water when you're drinking or absorbing other alcohol, though, because you will end up dehydrated. I heard you had trouble even moving your legs because your muscles were all cramped up so much.
Totally couldn't move from the waist down.
Wow. And that's good?
Yeah, because then I did the acid ant army ass.
Acid ant army ass.
Yeah. I opened up my pooper, and they put fire ants full of acid in my pooper. They crawled up in and out of there.
What? Does it? It seems like maybe that's too much to ask to get high, don't you think?
No, because then I did the poop shoot Prozac.
All right, listen. There's got to be some other orifice that you can...
Well, he can't use his mouth, he said, because his throat's burned.
Well, yeah. My mouth's burned up, and then my butt started to have a little problem, so I did the nitrous nipple nozzle.
Okay, all right.
It was awesome. Deco chopped off my nipples, and then he put a siphon tube in both my nipples and just constant nitrous going into my chest. My
wow. That seems like a lot.
Yeah.
I don't care what kind of weekend you had.
It's accurate. Thank you. Bam, we're glad you're alive.
All right.
You might want to just dial it down a bit.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Just
well,
make sure you stay alive.
It was a pleasure talking to you. I'm going to try some more pubic hair on.
All right. You enjoy it.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. There's no room for individual opinion anymore, at least on this show. If you have something to say that disagrees with the room, you will be roundly mocked and beaten down. Would you say that's accurate, you guys?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're of groupthink here at this program, and that's why lately we've had some interesting conversations in the office where we find out that somebody, for instance, doesn't think Office Space is a funny movie, and we realize that person needs to be beaten or disabled or fired or something because it's unacceptable.
Well, it seems like there are some things that we can all agree on, and we're going to take your calls on this as well at 1-800-520-1067. There are certain movies where you go, well, everyone finds that funny. That was a great movie. And then all of a sudden someone go, I didn't like that at all. And you, and it's like they're speaking a foreign language to you. You know, I don't know where to start. How do you not like that movie? And, we've had several people doing that. Miss Cleo is one of them who didn't like Office Space.
Apparently I now, need to be fired.
Well, you certainly do for a number of reasons, but this is just the latest. Tell me about, I mean, Office Space is one of the funniest movies of all time ever. I watch it. Every single time it's on Comedy Central. If I come across Office Space, wherever it is in the movie, I finish it because it's that awesome.
Yeah, I do the complete opposite. I didn't think it was that funny.
I don't think it's that funny. I don't watch it every time it's on TV, but certainly you have to say it was a funny movie.
I don't know. Like I said, how old is that movie now? Like 10 years old?
Probably 15, yeah.
Yeah. I probably saw it a year and a half ago, and so for 10 years of hype, I just thought, this is kind of just an ordinary movie.
That's part of the problem is that if you don't see it when it comes out and you don't appreciate it, and then everybody else starts talking about how great it is, and you hear that and hear that and hear that.
Yeah.
Then when you go to the movie, you have unreal expectations.
There's like a cult following for that movie, and yeah. I just didn't get it. I thought, all right, it's just okay.
And sometimes when those movies come out, there's a certain like zeitgeist that's going on where it really grabs you because it's really of the moment. And so, yeah, if you watch it 10 years later, you may miss that entire feeling.
Hang on, let me write down zeitgeist.
Now, I remember when Lisa May almost lost her job, yes, when she told us that she didn't find Dazed and Confused, which came out about the same time, which is a classic stoner comedy from director Richard Linklater. She told us that she could barely make it through that movie. She thought it was so awful.
I watched it last year and laughed not once. Not one single time.
That's on you.
I think what an awful movie.
With comedies, though, you kind of have to have either a certain lifestyle or come from a certain frame of mind to enjoy certain kind of niche comedies, which Dazed and Confused might be.
Sure.
And since we know Lisa May can eat a quarter of a pot brownie and die, maybe a movie about people who take 55 bong loads a day and, you know, live on marijuana exclusively might not be a movie for her.
Yeah, might not I guess be I can up see my that. Alley. That is true.
Which is the one you didn't like, Mike?
I think the big expectations and the letdown was the problem for me and Tropic Thunder.
All right, how many times did you watch Tropic Thunder?
I've seen it now twice. I went to the theater.
Twice, okay.
I mean, I was super excited for Tropic
me
Thunder.
Me too.
And I went to the theater, saw it, and I left just, I think, disappointed. I think the big thing was, for me, I love Jack Black. I love his
me
styling
too.
And his comedy. And they kind of wasted him, and they made him almost annoying. And he's already on the fence of annoying a lot of the time,
right,
anyway, and there was a lot of funny stuff going on screen, but I thought the movie just kind of meandered. It didn't really have a real direct theme, and it was disappointing to me. And I know a lot of people, especially my friends, think that movie's hilarious.
Well, you know what? I didn't love it at first, but I've watched it several times on cable since, and every single time, I think I like it more.
Oh, it's getting
it
better for you. Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
But
that happens.
That's also not the type of movie that everyone seems to love. That's the type of movie who did get hate. In the beginning, it wasn't really kind of a mass appeal. Everyone thought it was funny type of movie.
I liked it. I didn't love it. I really liked Pineapple Express.
Express, Dave the King of Mexico. Oh, I don't like it. That was not funny at
Dave,
all.
Dave watched it for the first time over this weekend, I believe, and tweeted, a bad Apatow movie? I'm shocked.
Mike is 100% right about Jack Black. His character was so underwritten in Tropic Thunder, and that was disappointing to me because I like Jack Black a lot. I think he's really, really funny.
Watch it again, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I did. I watched it again on cable, and I think I liked it a third time better than I did in the theater. Because, like I said, there is a lot of funny stuff going on.
Right.
So maybe just to sit at home and kind of waste time, it's a good movie for that. But the buildup of Robert Downey Jr. is playing a black guy, goes through this controversial surgery, and you got Ben Stiller and Jack Black and Robert Downey Jr. all in the same movie, and there was so much going into it. I think maybe the expectations were the big letdown.
Expectations play a huge role, I think. Yeah. And if you expect the movie to be unbelievable, most of the time it's going to disappoint you because most movies aren't. You know,
we are going to take some calls on this. If you've got a movie that makes you odd man out with your friends, let's go to Sky on line one, because this is a perfect example of a movie that everyone... You know, obviously not literally everyone, but everyone I know thought was a work of genius. Sky doesn't get it. Good morning, Sky. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
Hi, Sky.
Hello. Personally, I didn't think Borat was pretty funny.
What?
What?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm fired.
What are you you're fired. Lisa's right, Sky. I'm sorry. You can no longer listen to the program.
Well, I'm sorry. And thank God I don't work there. Else I probably would be fired.
You would be fired.
Now let's make sure.
Of Information decide to make this film about America because we want to be like you. America have most beautiful women in world. For example, Liza Minnelli and Elizabeth Taylor. It also Center for Democracy and Porno. I like.
Come on now.
I'm sorry. I mean, I thought a lot of discussions in it were kind of crude.
Scott. Well, no kidding.
Yeah, duh.
But that was kind of the idea.
That's going to eliminate 50% of all comedies for you.
Well, and I understand. I mean, that was the idea. But, I mean, when he came into the senator and called him things like chocolate face and stuff like that.
Funny as hell, right? You laughed. You laughed like crazy. Thought you'd die.
No, I didn't. I actually walked
out. He called a black man chocolate face. How is that not funny?
But he's a chocolate face who works for the government. Come on, you can't be putting down public officials like that.
What?
What are you talking about?
All right. It just got so weirder that I didn't like Borat. Who's defending people who work in our government?
Sky?
I go to like one of the most politically active schools in the country, so I am.
You are a strange person.
Then you're not paying attention, I'll tell you that. All right. Borat, not funny, says Sky. We appreciate the call. Thanks a lot for listening. Okay?
My preference, dog style. Yes.
I'm guessing she didn't see Bruno.
No. She shouldn't see Bruno. Let's take one more before the break, Kevin, because line four has to be your personal enemy, right?
Yeah,
I want you to hang up on him before you even go to him.
This is heresy, right? This is heresy. This is death.
I mean, you are literally, once we talk to Manny, you're going to put down your headphones, you're going to walk out to the parking lot, you're going to get in your car, you're going to drive to Manny's house, and you're going to beat him, right?
Manny?
Yes.
Think very carefully what you're about to say.
No problem.
What movie did you not like that everyone else seemed to?
The Hangover.
Wow. You're high,
really?
Manny.
Now,
you're high.
Are you blind and or deaf? Was that part of it, maybe? You went to the theater and weren't able to experience it the way the rest of us did?
I think it was like you're talking about, the expectations.
But I had high expectations for that, and it was maybe one of my top three movies of all time.
That is what I also heard, top three, and I made a mistake, and I kind of agree with you sometimes. So I saw it, and things like Grandma's Boy, Old School, Wedding Crashers, to me, much funnier. I like that it was filmed different, the different aspects of it. Uh-huh. I think I laughed out loud maybe twice.
Wow.
Well, I would never put that movie in my top three, but I thought it was really funny.
Really funny, I don't know. Different, yes, which I liked. But just laugh out loud? No.
Just laughed out loud more than any other movie in a long time.
He makes a baby, and I don't know if I can say on air, but gesture in a way that... How do you not find that funny?
You really
saw
it.
I don't know, Office Space.
Whatever.
Very seldom Carlos. That was funny. That was...
That was
it. Wow. That was what made you laugh.
Tough
what
room.
What about when the little Asian guy gets let loose out of the trunk and he jumps on that guy's face backwards and then he goes running away?
That I will say, that scene in cinema is the first one that made me feel good about myself downstairs. That's the very first time.
That wasn't funny, Manny?
It was funny, but not a lot. It was different, so it was cool. It laughs, but I mean, I wasn't dying, and it wasn't the funniest thing I've seen in my life.
I think I'm going to have to ban you from listening to the show.
No, no.
We don't do that often because we need listeners, but
Manny,
I'm willing to give you up.
He liked Wedding Crashers, though.
Yep.
What about on Grandma's Boy, where he turns around and he's looking at a doll, and he ends up finishing on the guy's mom?
We're not talking about Grandma's Boy, though, which I also find funny. But
Grandma's Boy is very funny. I don't know.
The Hangover is 10 times the movie Grandma's Boy was.
Ooh.
I want you to take your own life, Manny.
That seems extreme, but okay. Manny, you struggle. I'm frankly amazed that you were able to dial the phone yourself this morning. But thank you very much for the call. All right, we got some great ones on the line that we have to take a break and come back for. But
apparently, how do you not find The Hangover funny?
Well,
my head's exploding right now.
This is bizarre. 1-800-520-10.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack. But when my sister brought Doug home, I knew he was one of my own. And my wolf pack, it grew by one. So were there two of us? There were two of us in the wolf pack. I was alone first in the pack, and then Doug joined in later. And now I know for sure I just added two more guys to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together in Las Vegas looking for strippers and cocaine.
You can't not like The Hangover. That's unacceptable. That's not okay.
What about Manny, though? I mean, he's out there.
It's not. This is not subjective, people. This is science. That movie was proven to be funny with scientific methods.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. If you're just joining us, we're talking about those hilarious comedies that all of your friends and family love, yet you can't figure out why. You're the only one not laughing. What's up with that? 1-800-520-1067. That's the telephone number to give us a call. Why don't we get to Mike's arch nemesis, Joe? He's on line 5, I believe, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Joe, thanks for hanging on. What movie is on your list?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi. Good morning.
I think Manny is a D-bag.
Absolutely.
But one movie I couldn't get into at all was The Big Lebowski.
Are you kidding me?
It just wasn't funny. It was about a guy who got his rug peed on, and he was just trying to replace it.
Tell me John Goodman wasn't one of the funniest performances ever in that movie.
I will give you that. He was funny because every time they'd bowl, he would just quiet up that little guy, you know, that third little fight.
Yes.
He was
shut up, Donnie. This is not for you. Remember when he was beating that red Corvette with a baseball bat, breaking the window and denting it and everything else, and he was screaming at the top of his lungs in the middle of the night, and then the guy comes out and goes, "That's not my car."
I think one of the funniest parts of it was when they were trying to do that whole swap with the suitcase.
Hey, you're not allowed to come on the air and say the movie's not funny and then start naming funny parts.
It's
it doesn't
not,
work like that.
No, that was the only funny part.
No.
Nope. I couldn't get into the movie.
You are incorrect. You know, if
the problem is that Joe's retarded.
Are you retarded, Joe?
I'm a retard.
Yeah, I'm a retard.
All right. Let me ask you this. Are you a victim of overhype because your friends love it too much? Just like with Kevin, who if he just heard the Beatles today for the first time and didn't know anything about them, would go, hey, they're a pretty good band. But because he hears so much about the Beatles his whole life, he now is inclined to dislike them because of all the hype. Is it like that with you?
No.
Did you see The Big Lebowski when it first came out?
No.
Yeah. Well, I think that has a lot to do with it.
I really think
if your friends tell you that it is the funniest thing ever, you go in with expectations that can't be met. It's not, and then to you, it's not that funny.
Because I didn't see it when it came out either, and I'm not sure I get it, but I need to see it again.
You need to watch it again.
And maybe drink at that time.
Yeah, as do you.
Yeah. Yo. My girlfriend told me that, we should smoke a bowl before we watch
Okay,
it.
Well, you should try that.
Yeah, give that a shot and let us know.
I'm frankly surprised you have a girlfriend. Okay, but thank you very much for the call. Who's next?
Steve, who's another one of my arch nemesis. This is a movie where if it comes on TV, it doesn't matter at what point it is. If I come across it in the listings, I have to click on it and finish watching it. It can be 10 minutes from the end.
Mm-hmm.
It could be just starting. I have to watch the whole thing. Steve.
Hi, how you doing? How you doing, Kevin and Bean?
Good.
Hi.
You don't find what movie funny?
I find Talladega Nights funny at all.
Oh. Talladega Nights.
You know what? I feel sorry for you.
You feel sorry for me?
I do.
Will Ferrell, Talladega Nights?
Your life
how do
you... is sad and empty.
Well, this is the thing between a couple of buddies of mine. That, you know, what's better, Step Brothers or Talladega Nights? I love Step Brothers. I think it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I love Step Brothers, too, but Talladega Nights, classic.
It just doesn't do it for me.
Wow. When he's running around and thinks he's on fire and he's, help me, Tom Cruise.
It just seems a little bit too over the top for me.
I
don't know. You know, I just from the little kids, they just seem a little bit too, I mean, really, touch your grandfather that way, like, it just seems a little bit too...
That dinner scene with Jamie Presley, his wife, and the little kids and grandpa, that is a classic scene. Every word of that scene is gold.
Steve, yeah. Go back and watch it again. Watch it again front to end and then call us.
Is that your answer for all things people
yes.
don't like, Kevin, is
well,
they should get more of it?
It's not subjective. I think sometimes they just need to give it another run.
Maybe they just weren't mentally in the right place at that
right.
time. That definitely affects your
I
impression.
Think that happens.
Yeah, it does.
Let's try Ray, if we still have him on line 4. Now, here's one that seems to be kind of polarizing. I think I sort of see where Ray's coming from. Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Morning, guys.
Yeah, this is one of those weird movies that either you love or kind of don't like at all.
Yeah, I brought this up yesterday.
Ray?
Napoleon Dynamite.
Which I love.
I loved it too, but you can also see how not everyone agrees on that.
No, and it's you're not. There's no in between. You're right. Because
yeah,
I've
you
had
have
this
to,
argument with people who just despise it.
You have to get on board with the way the character talks and thinks, and you either have to find that act funny or you just can't enjoy the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Talladega Nights
like
is science.
It's like watching a retard try to shove his head up his butt and motorboat and say it's fun. It's not. It's pathetic.
I would watch that as well.
Bad
so,
example.
Did you see this one in theaters when it came out?
Yes, my wife drug me to it, and then where I work at lunchtime, they kept putting it in over and over and made my eyes bleed. I couldn't make
yeah.
it.
But at least everyone wasn't walking around doing their Napoleon Dynamite impression.
Oh, all day long, every day.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about.
That doesn't
help, too. That movie was so big, and the next thing you knew, John Heder was like hosting the MTV Video Music Awards or whatever it was he was doing back then. It just seemed like he and that movie and Voting for Pedro was everywhere, and there's no way you could have avoided it. If you started out hating it, it just must have been driving you crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my wife loves that movie, so anytime it's on TV, she has to watch it.
Yeah, it doesn't
it's
help.
It's torturing me. No,
that doesn't help. All right. But that one's, I think, is a questionable one. That one's you could go, well, that's my taste, but I can see
right.
how it would be annoying. Talladega Nights, not that kind of movie. The Hangover, not that kind of movie.
Tina, come get some ham.
I mean, come on. How is that not funny? He's throwing ham to a llama. How is that not funny? That's a sentence I never thought I'd say. All right. I think we're out of time, but clearly the advice from the Kevin and Bean Show is if you've seen a movie and you don't think it's funny, go ahead and watch it again.
Watch it again.
Yes.
We think you'll be pleasantly surprised. That's our end.
Ralph is here now with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
I know it's hard to believe, but it's that time of year again. Comic-Con!
Oh, it's just your heaven.
Comic-Con! In the words of William Shatner, I'm counting down the days.
Yeah. When are you going? You going Thursday?
I leave tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
What's today, Wednesday?
Today's Wednesday. So
I'll leave tomorrow, and I'm hosting the panel to celebrate the upcoming fourth season of Dexter.
Awesome.
Tomorrow evening. So
one of my
favorite
shows.
I'll be hosting that along with Michael C. Hall will be there. John Lithgow, the new serial killer.
Ooh.
Who will be starring in this upcoming season.
Awesome.
Jennifer Carpenter, who plays his sister Deb, is going to be there. Julie Benz. Come on with the Julie Benz now.
Yeah, no kidding. I can't believe Kevin's not going as much as he loves Dexter.
I do love that show.
They asked him not to.
They asked me not to.
Yeah, it was a restraining order. Ever
now,
since
what is
the,
this,
the Paley Television Festival debacle.
What is this Wired Cafe that you are broadcasting from on Friday, Ralph?
Wired Magazine, the lovely people at Wired Magazine, have a lounge area, I guess, throughout the length of the Comic-Con where journalists can go and celebs and stuff, and you go and hang out and you can do interviews stuff in there. So they've got a little broadcast area set up, and they're kind enough to allow me to use that Friday morning.
Cool.
Sweet. That's where I will be broadcasting from, at the Omni Hotel down in San Diego. But the real reason I'm excited, as you know, because Adam West is going to be there.
Yeah.
Of course.
TV's original Batman from 1978.
The original Batman. The classic Batman.
Ralph is in love with.
He is, because he's the greatest actor known to man, first of all.
Not just a crush.
From the best TV show ever known.
And you've met him 40 times at this point, right? But you're excited today as you were the first time.
More. The more I know him, the more I love him. And so I'm watching TV last night, just minding my own business.
Right.
And what, to my wondering penis, should appear but a new commercial for LendingTree, helping people get over this horrible economy we've got going on.
Right.
You've got to hear this commercial. Please listen.
More bad news on Wall Street today as markets...
Well, Scott, seems like we're all in a bit of a pickle. A wave of financial tomfoolery has been unleashed upon us. But fear not. These corporate mischief makers will meet their match. For today you are not just Scott. Today you are... Great Scott.
Great new Scott. Financial tools to take on a new financial world.
Great Scott.
Take control at the all-new LendingTree.
I don't know what LendingTree is, but I'm buying it and or using it.
Because he did that commercial?
He did that commercial.
It's a tree where you get loans.
I love it.
I saw another commercial for the LendingTree, same concept, where he started it. I saw it this morning on the TV. He started it, "Hello, old chum."
Yeah.
He's 80 and he still has that voice, by the way.
The man!
Take it easy.
Man!
Take it
love
easy.
Him. Did you hear this story, which I think is creepy? But you know, Ben Roethlisberger, the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I think it's Roethlisberger.
Used to be.
Yeah.
He has got a lawsuit on his hands from a woman in Nevada who claims that he sexually assaulted her in a hotel room.
Yes.
In Reno, I believe it is. Well, here's the thing. ESPN won't cover the story. Won't address it, have not said anything about it, has not put it on any of their broadcasts, on their website, will not address the story.
Really?
They have discovered there was a memo that came down from the higher-ups at ESPN to put an embargo on the story. A don't cover memo went out to all its reporters at ESPN.
That's weird.
Why? It's very weird. They're speculating it's because...
She was in on it?
No, oh. They don't... ESPN actually raped her. They don't want to lose access to Ben and the Steelers and cheese off that organization. They're more concerned about their access to the player and to the organization than they are about covering.
I guess that makes sense.
Did they cover... But if you are ESPN, who claims to be the biggest sports news network in the world,
that's BS.
How do you ignore that story?
It's like CNN not critiquing the president because they don't want him to stop talking to
him. Obama mugged somebody in Washington, but they're not going to talk about it. Yes, that happened on TV.
Because he's black. He's got to mug somebody. That's what you're saying.
Hey, CNN's like, well, we don't want to cheese him off. We still want to keep talking to him, so let's not talk about that whole mugging incident.
Did they cover... they covered Vic. They did live coverage of Vic day after day.
All over Vic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's because they probably didn't think they would ever have a, you know, relationship with him again.
Right.
Now he's talking about coming back. This has to really cheese you off, Ralph. As a fan of another team in Pennsylvania, you love seeing the Steelers go through turmoil, right?
Yeah, this is great. I'm loving the coverage. I thought it was odd that ESPN would put out an embargo on the story and put a don't cover memo out to its people. Now they're claiming, oh, well, we never talk about civil suits. It's like, I remember the OJ civil suit you pretty much talked about. Remember that one sure being covered pretty thick.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that hurts their credibility. If that, in fact, turns out to be true, then I can't support that move.
They covered Lakers Shannon Brown's sexual assault civil suit pretty extensively last year.
That's true.
And he's not even close to as big a star as Ben Roethlisberger.
But still, no mention yet on the network or on their website regarding the story. Very strange, I think. Speaking of credibility, did you hear about Kimo Leopoldo?
Oh.
Formal UFC...
Did
martial artist sensation. TMZ reported that he died yesterday. This came as a shock not only to his fans, but to Kimo himself, who told Yahoo News Today.
What?
I knew I wasn't dead, he said in a phone interview.
He's alive?
So when I started reading this, I wondered what exactly was going on.
What?
Yeah.
Oops.
He showed up at the Orange County Sheriff's Office in Santa Ana, California yesterday to... pretty much proof that he's alive and ask them, what do I do about this? How do I get people to stop saying I'm dead?
A bigger and bigger problem.
So TMZ reported that too?
Oh, yeah. TMZ broke the story.
Oh.
TMZ is right 99% of the time.
I know, but they don't remember those.
Wow, how about that?
This one, though, may be remembered for a while. Look,
hey, TMZ, Yeah, right. Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to say, TMZ still claiming Michael Jackson's dead. Where's the corroborating evidence of that?
I'm going to recant that story. It's more important to be first than to be right, I suppose. There's something wrong with Esther.
I hear that.
Yeah.
I hear that's true.
Something's not right with Esther. I get a weird vibe from that kid.
Yeah.
She is odd. Esther, of course, is the lead character in Orphan, the new horror movie, which looks, you know me, nothing scarier to me than a creepy kid.
Me too. I love it.
You can come at me with zombies and werewolves and
demons
and whatever. Drag me to hell if you want, but just don't put me in a room with a creepy kid because I will soil myself. Well, some people aren't happy with the new movie Orphan that's coming out. The domestic adoption program's Hands Across the Water is furious, saying that the movie will enforce false stereotypes about adopted children.
Oh,
they're complaining
come on.
About this movie.
If you adopt an orphan, she might kill you, though, Ralph.
But they're not saying there's something wrong with all orphans. They're just saying Esther by name.
Kevin, this movie...
It's just
trying
Esther.
To perpetuate myths and misunderstandings about adoption. I never knew there were. People used to think that orphans would kill you before this movie came out? Is this perpetuating that old myth? Oh, you know, when you give it an orphan, bring her in your house. She's going to burn it down and kill your kids, your real ones, your biological kids.
I've never heard that, no.
I've never heard that either. Mm-mm. This is another case of special interest groups running amok in this country.
Yep.
The adoption agencies are upset about this movie.
Yeah. Now, if Esther, I haven't seen the movie, but if Esther killed her natural parents and that's why she's an orphan, then maybe she's got a thing about parents and you should have some concern.
But just with Esther,
right?
Because it's a movie.
Yeah.
Not real life.
Maybe they're like PETA and they're just trying to get us to talk about adoption.
Maybe. Look, adoption's a great thing. I think we all support it. But this movie is really not making a statement about adoption.
I know.
If I could suggest, though, don't take Esther in. Just anyone named
Esther. You might
want
to avoid adopting Esther.
All people named Esther
are bad. If anyone should be complaining, it's the Esthers of America. You're absolutely right.
I'm sure there's an organization,
sure.
Esthers of America.
It's like
America.
The Shark Coalition complaining about Jaws.
Right.
You know, we don't all eat people at the beaches in summertime. Some of us eat fish.
Oh.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Terrence Stamp, who played Zod. General Zod in the Superman movies.
Kneel before Zod!
Yes, kneel before Zod.
I just saw Valkyrie over the weekend on the TV. He's one of the stars of that movie. Boy, he's a great actor.
Did you ever see him in Sexy Beast?
Yes.
Oh, he's great in that, too. With, Ben Kingsley.
Was he in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert?
Yes, was the main transvestite in that film. 71 years old today. Comedian, actor, director Albert Brooks is 62. I never thought the main transvestite would ever be a category you'd put someone in. Oh, yeah, he's the main transvestite.
I think that's the first time I ever knew of him.
Really?
Seeing that movie.
Willem Dafoe is 54 years old today. Comedian, actor, director Albert Brooks is 62. David Spade turns 45. John Leguizamo, also 45. Franca Potente from The Bourne Identity and Run, Lola Run, turns 35. And Selena Gomez from The Wizards of Waverly Place is 17. By the way, wizards are complaining at the Wizards
of
Waverly
right?
Place gives them a...
not all wizards are Waverly.
Perpetuating the bad stereotypes about wizards.
Yeah.
And wizard sleeves, for that matter. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's talk about Bean for a second. We have a feature on this program called...
Fetch That Info Bean!
Because Bean has Asperger's, and Asperger's is a form of autism where you can't... You don't have social cues. You don't understand what makes other people laugh or what makes other people angry.
Right.
So you have to fake it.
I don't have Asperger's, but I do have a feature on this show called...
Sorry, we're out of time.
And because of the Asperger's, he has a hard time connecting with people and having a full-blown conversation. We learned this recently about Asperger's.
Right.
So people with Asperger's will just give off information, will just download information they know about a fact to you in an attempt to try to replicate human contact.
Right, which they do clumsily, and it almost never works.
Right.
Right.
So we've tried to beat Bean about the head with this, but he doesn't get it. And I would just like to fire a preemptive shot, Bean. We understand... What I'm about to read is word for word what you said during the commercials and the songs off the air.
Okay.
We understand the concept. We got it. And we don't need further explanation about why it's important.
Yeah.
We're telling you it's on the list because we didn't find it interesting.
So we understand what he said, not just why he said it.
But if I give an interesting fact and you don't find it interesting, isn't it on you?
No. Because
not unsolicited.
Conversation really is a two-way thing, Bean. You can't just say anything, and then if I don't like it, it's on me.
Hey, no. I weed out all the non-interesting
stuff. No, you don't.
I only bring you things that are interesting.
Well, let's be the judge of that. Let's hear this list, and we'll see.
All right. This is what was said specifically. I write it down as it said. I write down what other people in the room say. Hey, guys, they just put out the list of the top 10 smartest and top 10 dumbest dogs.
Okay, now...
Every one of us in this room has a dog.
How is that not a relatable topic to this audience?
Here's what I'm telling you. Ralph has a dog.
Lisa, Mike, I don't measure my dog's intelligence or anybody else's.
But it's interesting to hear things about the breed of dog that you have.
But we weren't talking about dogs. We weren't talking about any of our pets. None of that conversation was going on. You just come out of the blue with this stuff, and we're telling you no.
But doesn't every conversation have to start somewhere? You'd never be able to bring up a new topic by your rules.
No, it would be somehow tangentially related to something everybody else is talking about. You would be included in
If I said, I had my dog Reggie surfing in the pool this weekend, you would say, oh, you know what? It's funny because dachshunds came up on this list I saw. And see, and that's how people talk to each other.
Bean, who does the show from his house, saw this. Hey, guys, I'm reading about a guy who does a radio show from his house in Florida. And then no one said anything. He used to do the show from Amsterdam. No one said anything. How cool would that be? No one said it. Okay, so that's the third statement. No one said it would be cool. And after Bean said, how cool would that be? Ralph said, you're an a-hole. What would you do in Amsterdam? He just couldn't take it anymore.
I'll tell you what I do.
Sleep in and start my show at 2 in the afternoon.
That's what I do.
Three of my puppies just woke up and came over here at the same time. So I said, that's a great story. And Mike said, thanks for that info, Bean.
There you go.
Did he get the point? No. Guys, this was yesterday. ABBA sold 380 million albums.
Okay. Now that's info, Bean. That's a shocking statistic.
Don't need to know why you find it interesting. We understand. But you can read it and go to yourself and be interested in it. We weren't talking about album sales. We weren't talking about ABBA. We weren't talking about any of this.
We know that ABBA has sold zillions and zillions. Right. We're not into the numbers.
I didn't know it was 380 million.
You can't force feed us minutiae. You can be interested and then go, to yourself.
So that's not minutiae, though. Yes, it is. That's fascinating. You hear about artists like Michael Jackson who have sold less than half that. Michael Jackson has sold less than half that amount. Hey, doesn't that blow you away that ABBA is that much bigger?
Don't need clarification on the ABBA conversation.
I'm just saying. But still.
Aren't we the good judges of what we find interesting? And we're saying no. So he says, guys, ABBA sold 380 million albums. No one said anything. So he followed it up.
He never takes the silence, by the way. You'll notice that never, a thing that never bites on the non-response.
So he says, how about that? Because he wanted a response. And
right,
then,
tell me how.
And then no one said anything. Again, after Bean said, how about that? And then Bean said... Thanks for that info, Bean. So at least by the end of that painful 45 seconds, he understood. Guys, why is Wild Thing by the Trogs such a good song? So no one said anything, and then Bean follows that up with, no one can deny that's a great song.
And I'll stand by that.
Info, Bean.
You can't just spout a random fact and try to pretend it's conversation.
Again... all conversation has to start with an opening, okay? Maybe that gets us into a conversation about the greatest guitar riffs of all time.
We are telling you that we don't like your conversation starters.
And I'm telling you that Wild Thing holds up. That's what I'm saying.
Your conversation appetizer is poop on a cracker. That's what we're telling you at the beginning of the meal.
Doesn't make us want to eat.
Right. Does not say, can't wait for the next course.
Guys, who's the biggest buyer of old-fashioned typewriters? He's reading an article on old-fashioned typewriters. So when he said that, I put my hand up to Lisa and to Mike, like, do not speak.
Do not engage. Do not engage.
Yep.
And Mike waited as long as he could, but then went, IBM.
The article was about...
Don't care.
typewriters.
No, the North
are
Carolina
being sold
jail system
by the truckload to prison systems because prisoners aren't allowed to have computers, so they have typewriters to send mail.
That
just surprised me.
That info beam.
What do we have to do to let you know we don't care about that?
Shut up, Bean.
Don't need more information.
Right.
But how could you not care about
that? What about this conversation makes you think I should give them more clarification? Because they're looking for more.
They want more details about old-timey typewriters.
Here's what we're saying. Don't care who buys typewriters. No more information. Less information than that.
So many typewriters were still being manufactured.
Maybe you should think in your mind. Maybe you should
sold.
Think, wow, I missed with that one. Maybe I should kind of, you know, have a little filter where I run stuff through maybe what they might be interested in.
Yeah. Dude, the stuff I don't share with you guys.
Oh, my God.
And there's a lot of it.
Also yesterday, free pastry with coffee at Starbucks this morning.
Okay.
So no one said anything.
That's good info.
And then Bean follows it up with, people love free stuff. Come on.
Do people love free stuff or not?
Bean, you have to take our silence as a fire and a miss. When people don't say anything or they say something like great story or whatever, it's a miss.
But when I come in and go, I just had a delicious free pastry from Starbucks, and you go, hey, how come you didn't tell me about it? I would have gotten a free pastry from Starbucks. Then it'll be burn on you.
I'm willing to take that risk.
Did you go to Starbucks? Were you at Starbucks and got a free pastry?
Is that
how it happened?
Not a chance in hell.
Were you there? Did you go into a Starbucks? Was this a story that happened to you personally where you could say, hey, I went to Starbucks today, you'd get a cup of coffee, and to my surprise, they were giving out free pastries?
No, because the cutoff was 10:30 a.m., so I couldn't make it in time. But it would have been useful information.
This is stuff that Bean comes across while he's reading on the internet, and he just can't keep it all in because it's so good. And we're telling you, just turn off your mic and say it as if you're saying it to us.
Because you get the same response anyway.
Same response.
To the puppies that are running up to you, all three of them.
All three of my puppies came up to me at the same time.
Puppy birthday headquarters.
What is it that you want me to do with all three puppies came up to you at the same time? I mean, am I supposed to go, wow, puppies are weird that way, how they
all run together.
How they all stick together in a pack.
Wow, they travel in a pack? Your dogs are weird.
What kind of a conversation were you trying to start with that?
I guess I just thought we were friends and that friends share.
You are wrong.
You're thinking on so many
we are not friends.
But people do love free stuff, though.
That's true.
Time to welcome another guest to the Kevin Bean Show. He is currently the assistant producer of this program, and perhaps you remember him from his fine TV work on Dawson's Creek a few years ago. Well, now he's in a major motion picture due next year called Step Up 3D. Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Sanchez, the King of Mexico, joins us. Hey, Mr. Sanchez.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Very well, thank you.
Can we call you Dave? Do you mind could we be that informal with you?
Well, you know, let's use my dancing name, King.
King. You know? Dave is a big Step Up fan. He has been raving about the first two movies, and I don't know how it happened, but somehow the movie company got in touch with him and said they'd like him to come to New York and film a scene for Step Up 3D, which he flew to New York to do. But if I'm right about this, King, you had very little knowledge of what you were going to actually be asked to do on set, right?
Yes, I didn't really know what they were doing, but, you know, they told me that they saw all my YouTube videos of me dancing.
Sure, you're well known for that.
You know, they cast me in the role that they thought best.
Now, Dave, we told you whatever role they cast you in, we don't care. You better dance. If I don't see your ass dancing on that movie, I'm going to be very upset.
Well, there was some dancing.
Yes.
Really? Tell us about your scene or scenes.
Well, it was a scene where, you know, it's a big battle going on, a big dance battle.
Of course.
And, you know, Extra One, who's me, featured Extra One, you know, I'm off the ledge just cheering and hollering and supporting the squad, you know?
But are you dancing while you're cheering and hollering?
You know it, kid.
You better be.
Now,
bouncing him, you know.
Did they put you in a place where you are guaranteed to be seen based on where you were standing in the crowd, or is it one of these deals where you're kind of on the edges and we have to know that you're there to look for you?
I think so, because they pan on the crowd, and, you know, the guys are battling, and they show the crowd's reactions to a lot of the...
Yeah.
And you know, I saw the camera at me a couple of times, so I'm pretty sure, I'm pretty confident that I won't get cut from this.
How about that?
I hope that's true. Now, did you have to do it a bunch of times, or were you a one-take wonder?
13 hours, if you call that a bunch.
13 hours to film that scene?
That's a lot for the guys out there actually dancing.
You you wouldn't believe how much they go through. Like, these dancers are amazing.
Oh, you don't have to tell me. That's my life.
You know, I saw your tweet yesterday afternoon. It must have been 5:30 or something in New York, where you were saying you were still on set, still working, and hadn't eaten yet.
Yeah, I didn't eat till after the shoot, so it was probably a mistake not to eat before, but...
Every single one of Dave's tweets involve his food.
I'm sure.
It does. Like what he ate or what he wants to eat or a picture of what he ate. It's all about food.
It's so true. If Dave were in downtown Los Angeles and a hydrogen bomb went off, his tweet would be, I'm eating a bacon sirloin cheeseburger watching the bomb go off.
There's a photo of it. Very blurry and far away.
Portobello right now.
Yeah. See?
So, King, did you get a chance to meet some of the lead stars of Step Up 3D?
You know what? Oddly enough, I talked to one of the leads.
Fantastic.
Yeah, even the director, John Chu.
Wow, hey! Look at you.
Very good.
And when's Dave Sanchez's Step Up 3D coming out?
Not till next August. So, you know, we have a whole year.
A year from August. We can't wait that long.
Wow.
Wow. All right.
But
well,
you know, man, me and 3D, it takes a lot of work.
You're the man. That's a lot of 3D that's required.
It's a lot of 3D.
Well, we can't wait for the movie, Dave. We're very happy that it all worked out.
Dave's scene can only be seen in IMAX. He won't be in the regular theaters.
Oh, you know what? Dave won't go unless it's in IMAX.
Right,
his movie's going to be in theaters, and he won't go see it unless it's in IMAX.
But I'm saying it's going to have to be that big a screen to carry Dave.
Exactly.
So, that's what
all right. King, I know you're going to be back on the show tomorrow, and I hope you're not going to bring some star attitude. I hope you're still going to, you're not going to mind interacting with us little people.
I don't know. They treated me pretty good, so you guys got to step it up.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
All right, thank you. Comedian, actor Rhys Darby, he plays Murray on Flight of the Conchords, is going to be here in the 8 o'clock hour, and I may just squeal like a little schoolgirl.
It's like a one-man party.
I know. So that'll be coming up in about 15 minutes.
Right now, let's talk X Games.
Brian Deegan is a true pioneer of freestyle motocross. He knows to stay on top of the sport, the price can be enormous. You've heard the saying, put your life on the line. For Deegan, this has become a way of life.
Backflip from the last time when I crashed and lost my kidney, so it's pretty cool.
I'm dying. Like, I felt in my head, I knew I was dying.
And I'm jumping over four sharks.
Deegan with the 360 on a 250 dirt bike.
Metal Militia started as a group of friends that were edgy, core, had character images tattooed up, basically starting the trend of the, I have to say, the 909 scene, and it just was about a group of guys who, I raced Supercross, walked away from the sport of Supercross after winning the LA Coliseum, and started freestyle motocross, but knew there was like a group of guys that just needed a name, and so we thought Metal Militia.
Well, I mean, if you consider 9 medals for Moto X good, Kevin, I mean, if that's what you consider the standard of success, then Brian's doing okay.
It's 9 more than I have. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you, man?
Good.
Good to talk to
you. Hey, last time we had John, you were promoting your big event in Lake Elsinore, and if I understand correctly, you ended up going on and winning that thing.
Yeah, I actually went out and won the race, beat the undefeated champion, and took him down. He was on a win streak, and I was the guy, you know, the man for the job, and handled it.
I was surprised that after that race, when you were being interviewed, you gave all the credit to being on our show. I thought, that's really nice.
Totally.
Are you, do I have this right? Are you back out there this weekend, Brian?
Yeah, they're having another race this weekend. It's the 25th and 26th coming up here, and it's going to be a night race because it's been so hot out, which is good for us because we're in those fireproof suits and those truck, so yeah,
sure.
It'll be a good race. This one's going to be a good battle.
Now let's talk X Games. It's already coming up a week from tomorrow.
Yeah,
hard to believe.
Really? Yeah,
and you're competing this year in Step Up, right? Thursday night.
Yeah, doing Step Up Thursday night, and then all through X Games, I'll be doing rally practice leading up to the rally race on Sunday.
Which we have tickets for somebody if they'd like to go at 1-800-520-1067. You want to go Sunday to Home Depot to see the rally car racing. You can see Brian Deegan, who owes all of his success to us, as I said previously. Now, you're not doing completely done with the freestyle with the best trick and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I'm not done. It's just this year I really want to focus on the four-wheel deal, and it takes a lot more time than dirt bikes. There's a lot to those race cars. A lot to the testing, tire, suspension, all that stuff. So I really want to focus on rally car. And then next year, if I come up with some crazy trick and have some wild urge to go do it, then, you know, I will. But, you know, this year I just got to focus on the race cars.
Sure. And I know you got, you know, all of your buds are going to be out there doing stuff. Is there anything in particular, any trick or event or something that you are particularly excited to see yourself at X Games 15?
Yeah, I'm going to be announcing a best trick on Friday night at Staples Center. I always think that's the best event. That's
I do,
one,
too.
Yeah, that's the one I've always looked forward to. And that's the one I think I've won the most medals in. And it, that's what freestyle is all about. It's all about the guys stepping up, trying to one-up each other. That's how freestyle started, and that's why I like that event.
I'll tell you, that best trick is so freaking just scary-looking, and you know, like, somebody could totally get hurt. And every year there's a rumor of somebody who's going to try something that's never been done before, and the rumors are just getting crazy. It seems like to keep up with best trick, you've got to risk your life pretty much every time.
Oh, for sure. It's gotten to that level to where even the double backflip this year isn't going to win. It's just like it's taken something even bigger and better than that. And that's
unbelievable.
How crazy it is, yeah.
That is crazy. Because when Travis did the double backflip, I was there that night, and I was watching the best trick. And it was one of the most exhilarating, exciting moments that I've ever seen in my whole life.
Yeah.
And now... all right. Yeah, we'll give him a 7.
What else you got?
That's double backflip. We'll give him a 7.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, let me ask you this. When it comes to best trick, how do the competitors keep their trick secret from everybody else? Because there have to always be people that are there with them when they're practicing. How does word not get out what everybody's doing ahead of time?
That's the hardest part, is the strategy coming up to X Games is trying to hide doing your tricks. And it's especially hard for the militia because we have a team pit. And each guy can see the other guy, but, you know, a lot of guys have their own foam pit. They find time to come out when no one's around. And, you know, it's one of those things you just have to have a strategy not to show anyone, not let anyone film you do it. And, you know, and you just got to save it for that event, which, you know, that's part of the strategy.
You got to make your crew take a blood oath just to make sure that nobody talks, because if they do, they know they're going to get rubbed out.
Yeah, the problem is our crew, all the guys are good riders, and one guy sees it, the next guy will do it.
Sure.
And, you know, so it's a real secretive deal.
The event that Brian was talking about at Lake Elsinore is, of course, this weekend. What's the website for people to want to get more information on that, Brian?
Go to lucasoiloffroad.com, or we have the information on briandeegan.com, too. And, you know, it's going to be an awesome race. All the guys are out there. A lot of action sport guys, and it'll be good. I'll go straight from that into X Games. So.
And the X Games are next week, Thursday through Sunday. Thursday and Friday have Staples Center, Saturday and Sunday only at Home Depot. Mm-hmm. And you can buy tickets at Home Depot and Staples Center box office and Ticketmaster.com/X Games. And you can watch it all on ABC and ESPN.
Oh, cool.
So that's next weekend, Brian. We're very excited about the X Games. We always are, and it's great to have you back on the show.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me. And actually, they're going to have a ride-along in the rally car for media guys, so maybe you guys can jump in the rally car and go over the jump.
Awesome.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Fantastic. Are you going to be driving?
Yeah, I will be driving.
Nah, I'm not going to do it then.
All right. Go for a backflip.
Thank you, Brian.
So, yeah, if you guys want to follow me all through X Games, it'll be on Twitter under MM General. So I'm going to go follow all the way through that whole
MM General. Yeah. All right. Fantastic, man. Thank you.
Cool. All right.
Thank you, Lisa. It is 7:57.
Let me tell you about our friend Ralph Garman.
Okay, so he's a racist.
No, he's,
I am not, sir.
Here with the showbiz beat, and then actor, comedian Rhys Darby, the wonderful Murray on Flight of the Conchords, joins
present.
Us in the 8 o'clock hour on the Kevin DeBee Show. Present.
Yes.
I think that show's over.
You don't think they're
good?
Coming back?
Yeah, I think they're done.
I know that was the talk. Discussion. I guess we'll find out from Rhys. He would know.
I think we need a spinoff. Just Murray.
Just Murray.
Sure.
Oh,
it's Murray. Flight of Murray.
Yeah. And just have him. Get a new band. We don't need those guys holding him back anymore anyway.
It's possible we like him too much.
Exactly, yeah. You know, I've been talking about the Comic-Cons coming up this weekend. Mm-hmm. Kicks off tomorrow through Sunday. It just keeps getting cooler. I just found out today that they're going to have a special exhibit of props and set pieces from Lost.
Oh, no kidding.
That are going up for auction.
Dude.
Like what?
In May 2010, once the show is over, they're going to auction off all the props and costumes and stuff from Lost.
Are they going to auction off Kate?
So, you can get her toy plane.
Oh.
That little toy plane that she carries around with is sort of important to her.
Uh-huh.
You can buy that.
Okay.
Also up for auction, Hurley's winning lottery ticket. How cool would that be?
That's a great item.
The ticket with the numbers on it.
I'm not really a...
I know, you're not a collector.
Collector.
Locke's hunting knife? That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Sawyer's letter. Charlie's guitar. Mr. Echo's club with all the Bible verses written all over it.
Oh, cool.
I'd like to beat somebody to death with that. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yes.
No, probably not.
In the whole category of beating people to death, I don't know.
Yeah. So it's on display at the Comic-Con this weekend. If you want to check it out, you can see all that cool stuff.
Do you have a sad feeling, as I do, Ralph, with just one season left, that we're going to have a list of about 100 questions at the end of Lost that will have never been answered?
Nope. We're going to wrap it all up.
Take care of it? Okay.
Wrap it all
Not a chance in hell.
You know, I work out at this boxing gym, right? And so I box there with Jacob.
Really?
The actor who played Jacob, Mark Pellegrino,
dead
on the show, who goes killed by Ben at the end of the season.
So you haven't worked out with him for a while.
So no, he's not dead. The actor is still alive. So I was, priming the pump. I was trying to get some inside info
sure
on the whole Lost thing.
How'd that work out?
Very, very well.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Really? He told you stuff?
I can't tell you anything.
Oh, how dare Great. you, big tease.
Because he told me nothing.
Oh.
It was bad. It was a bad experience. What are you going to do?
Those bastards.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe in the 70s, guys. But come on, get up with the 90s. Times have changed.
Meanwhile, in the world of motion pictures, World of Warcraft, the immensely popular multiplayer video game, is going to be made into a feature film. Wow. That's what they call it, World of Warcraft.
Wow.
Yeah. apparently, Sam Raimi will be the director. Man who brought you Spider-Man 1, 2, 3, and now apparently 4 as well. So, World of Warcraft.
How about that?
And you know I love when they turn bad movies into musicals. Here's the latest. Soon to hit the stage, The Notebook, the musical.
Any low point.
Your mouth.
Really?
The Notebook, the musical. And I heard good things about The Notebook.
It's a wonderful movie.
I never actually saw it myself because I have testicles and a penis. But...
yeah.
But apparently, women I know enjoyed it.
Does it need to be a musical, Lisa?
No, absolutely not.
Ryan Gosling starred, of course.
Yeah.
Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's heading for Broadway.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's terrible. Yeah, what have you done? Terrible.
Yeah. You know what's worse?
Right.
Kevin Federline's going to get his own reality show.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
Yes.
Apparently... K-Fed wants to launch a new reality show that revolves around his new life with his girlfriend Victoria Prince. By the
yes.
way, that relationship's lasted a lot longer than I ever thought it would. And his two young sons, Sean and Jaden.
Oh, good. He's putting them on it.
Yeah.
Excellent.
He would like to show his life living in glamorous Encino, California. And all the excitement that surrounds being K-Fed.
Wow. A K-Fed show without Britney.
Yeah. What does he do with his time now besides eat?
Apparently watches the kids. He's sort of a glorified babysitter these days. I think he is traveling on the tour with Britney watching the kids while she gets out there and shakes her moneymaker.
He smokes weed, allegedly.
Sure, there's that.
And then
why do you think
he eats
so much?
Right.
That gives you a healthy appetite, that weed.
That's going to be a good
so
show.
Much I hear about
no!
The,
no!
The kids and their weed. See Letterman last night with Kevin Spacey?
Didn't know.
Mm-mm.
Talking about Twitter. Oh man, you gotta find it. It's on YouTube. Kevin Spacey tries to explain Twitter to Letterman. He's
completely not Letterman acts dumber than
he is. Is it expensive? Does it cost? No, Dave. Doesn't cost anything. Where does it go? Where does that tweet go? It was very, very fun. Today's celebrity birthdays: actor Terrence Stamp. He's been in a lot of great movies, but I'll always remember him as General Zod from Superman 1 and 2.
Yeah.
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 This is a good place for Neo before Zod. That's where I would put that.
Neo before Zod!
That's what I would put there. That's if it was my show. That's what I'd be doing.
Timing?
Well, there's no way Mike could have known
no.
that it was his birthday and you would be mentioning that at the end of your show.
That's what we probably have that queued up.
I was waiting on the Adam West commercial. I was hoping that...
Dude, it's 8:02,
right,
man.
I'm
moving on.
Okay.
He is 71 years old today. Albert Brooks, actor, comedian, director, writer... just does it all, and does it all so well. I want him to do another movie.
Not very often.
Not very often.
No.
You ever see Defending Your Life?
Yes.
With Meryl Streep and Albert Brooks. One of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
I watched Mother again recently. Oh. He's brilliant in that.
Boy, is Mother funny. It's about his relationship with his mom, played by Debbie Reynolds. And she is just a pain in the ass. And he's trying his best, but she is just a nightmare. And she's cheap as hell. And she leaves orange sherbet in the freezer for like 2 years and pulls it out every once in a while to serve him.
Ugh.
And it's got like an inch of ice on top, you know, when ice cream gets too old.
Sure.
And she goes, no, it's still good. Yeah, it's still good. She serves it up. I always remember this line. Well, how do you like it? What's it taste like? It tastes like an orange foot. One of my favorite lines ever. Willem Dafoe is 54 years old today. David Spade, also 45. Is 45. John Leguizamo is also 45. Franka Potente from The Bourne Identity and from Run Lola Run is 35. And Selena Gomez.
Oh, yeah.
One of the Wizards of Waverly Place.
What was that?
Selena Gomez.
She's 17 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hi, I'm Rhys Darby. I come from New Zealand.
Do we have any gigs, Murray?
Ah, yes, I've got an answer for that. No. Band meeting. Brett.
Present.
Jermaine.
Present.
Murray, present.
Michael Jackson's off the wall.
Yeah, whoa. I'll say he is. He's crazy. Off the planet. Isn't he going to freeze himself?
Brett.
Yes.
Jermaine.
Yes.
Murray, present.
What's this meeting about?
Well, one of my CDs is missing. The only one I can make out was Snoopy. What's your problem with him?
Snoop Dogg.
I know he's a dog, Brett. I'm not totally in the dark ages. Yes. No. Yes.
Yes.
No. How about yes?
How about no?
Well, I'd rather you say yes. No. Yes.
Murray?
Not now. I'm just in the middle of a debate, Greg. Band meeting. Brett.
Yes.
Jermaine.
Also yes.
Murray, present. Managing a band, actually. A little band called Flight of the Conchords. Because that's what I do. All right? Got it? Good.
Actor, comedian Rhys Darby joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, one of the stars of the Emmy-nominated Flight of the Conchords. And in town for an evening with Rhys Darby at the Music Box at the Henry Fonda Theater in Hollywood. That is going to be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Tickets through Ticketmaster. Good morning, Rhys Darby.
Good morning.
I think we like you too much. I have to be honest. Flight of the Conchords is one of those shows. It's on HBO. They've only had two seasons and they're done?
We're not sure. Done for now.
Right. One of the just weirdest, strangest shows that we kind of have been, we contact each other all the time. Oh, did you see this? Did you see that? Oh, you got to watch Flight of the Conchords this week. It's so good. And we're just obsessed with it. And your character, Murray, I think we love more than anyone.
I really do. We've really grown to love him. Plus, he's kind of exploded this last season.
Yeah, I was worried when I first started that he wasn't going to be liked because the other two are so cool. Mm-hmm. And I was worried that when I was on the screen, people would be like, oh, he's so annoying and highly strung. This guy. Out of there, but he's kind of complimented the other two really well, and the three of us together became sort of the unique thing that people loved. So we sort of lengthened those bits out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you write? Do you have a hand in writing, Murray?
I come in for when it's all written in LA, and we kind of go through rehearsals, and then
and you say this is all wrong.
Yeah, I just
let me change it.
Yeah, change it as we go, and then it's kind of an organic process. And then when we actually go to shoot it. We improvise a lot as well. So,
oh, you do?
Yeah.
How much did they originally write of Murray, like with the band meetings and you got to take role every time? Did they write all that stuff or did you just wing that?
No, that's mine originally from, we did a BBC radio series.
Right.
And when I invented the character, I just sort of plucked him out of nowhere. The first thing I did was do a roll call. And so I just sort of.
And there's only those two guys and you, ever.
Yeah, only ever.
It's pretty clear if they're there or not. So why do you roll call?
I think there was one episode in season one where we had an extra couple of guys.
Yeah.
But apart from that, it's only ever those two.
Wasn't there once when one of them was missing and you called roll anyway and then no one said anything?
Yeah.
It was like.
It's mandatory. It's on the schedule.
For an answer.
I do love, one of the reasons I love Murray so much is clearly he's clueless, but he's such a likable person. He's so positive. He's so optimistic. He always manages to put the spin. I mean, I watched the reruns. Last night was the hair gel episode where the boys get obsessed with hair gel, and it was the one where one person showed up to the Flight of the Conchords gig. But Murray sees the positive in it because that one guy was a big guy. He was a fat guy.
Yeah.
And he had shopping bags with him.
That's so. Yeah. You always got to look at the glass is half full.
Yeah,
you know?
he always manages to be so positive. And how did the idea come about that he works for the New Zealand consulate? Where did that even come from?
Well, I guess I don't know where that came from actually, because originally in the radio series he was purely just a manager, and he actually used to work in a pub in New Zealand, and he'd come into some money and ended up in London. But for the American version, I guess that whole diplomatic, governmental sort of side of things became quite important, and it would be quite funny for him to be, you know, actually in a very sort of important role.
Important sounding
with
role.
The country, yeah.
An important
right, yeah.
sounding role, but really sounding. With nothing to do.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
the best part of it.
And so many New Zealanders in those sort of roles are like that, I think. And,
yeah, yeah.
We're back home, we're really into our scheduling and our, you know, rules and regulations. And but really, we've got nothing to do. it rings true when people watch that back home. They're like, oh, my God, that's
that's
us.
True.
Now, I find this really interesting about you, Reese, because I frankly didn't know until well into Flight of the Conchords that you were a comedian. I mean, actually, you're really more of a comedian than you are an actor. I think that's accurate to say, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Comedian yeah. first.
Right. So that was a big surprise to me. And, of course, Reese Darby is going to be – the evening with Reese Darby is going to be tomorrow night at the Music Box at the Henry Fonda Theater. Tickets through Ticketmaster. You should definitely go see this man on stage. But when you had the opportunity to extend the radio show and make it into a television show, was it because you thought, hey, this is a great way to get my name and face in front of a bunch of people to build up more audience for my stand-up act?
Oh, not at all. No, I kind of wanted to get into acting from the beginning. When I first started doing stand-up, my idea, looking at the end of the tunnel, was to get into TV acting and film. And so that was – I was never going – I'm not a straight stand-up. So my ideas, if you've seen the sort of stuff I do, are quite sort of out there, I guess, a bit of surreal, a bit of sort of
If you call a guy doing helicopter sound effects on stage, out there and surreal.
Yeah, and I kind of do a lot of mime and physical
All right.
physical stuff, and I use sound effects as well.
I think we're going to need to take a break and come back and discuss your comic.
I'm doing some stuff comedy. Now. I'm doing some stuff now.
You're doing mime stuff now.
Look at
right?
that.
But people can't see
oh,
that.
Whoa. Yeah.
That was good,
Wait,
though.
Is that a clown trying to get out of a box, Reese?
No, it's just me opening a door.
Oh, all right, sorry. Ticketmaster.com is where you can buy the tickets. Reese Darby is here, an evening with Reese Darby. Is tomorrow night, and we will be right back.
It's a pretty quiet party, Murray.
It's only just started, Jermaine. Look at Brett, he's having a good time. Hey, Brett, you think it's rocking now? You wait till Jim gets here. It's going to be twice this. It's like a one-man party.
Well, does he need us then?
There's the great actor-comedian Reese Darby. He is Murray on Flight of the Conchords. He is in town for a special evening of comedy tomorrow night at the Music Box at the Henry Fonda in Hollywood. Before the break, Reese, we started to talk about your manic stage persona. How do you describe what you do on stage to people who have maybe never seen your comedy act?
Let me read the summary
okay.
that we got okay. about Reese, and then Reese can tell us if this is true. Reese Darby is the genre-breaking, boundary-leaping comic genius from New Zealand.
I didn't write
that. Seems overstated.
His sensational blend of sound effects, characterizations, and askew observations have been reducing international audiences to a state of bewildered hysteria since he launched himself into the world circuit in 2002. Is
wow.
all of that accurate?
Wow, I've got to see this guy.
Bewildered hysteria.
I would say more than that. I mean,
that's understatement.
Subtle. That's an understatement.
Wow.
Yeah. No, that is the old me. I've changed now. Since I became famous, I really do very little
because you being there is enough.
To. Yeah.
You don't need
yeah.
to entertain them as well.
Yeah, that was back in the early 80s when I was trying to get attention.
I see. And how would you describe your stand up for people if they asked you?
It's I guess since I started doing the acting stuff, I've brought in that sort of very different side to me, which is very dialogue-driven, kind of more subtle.
You've got to talk right into the gold part of that microphone.
Sorry, I'm talking to you.
Yeah, because you go away.
Oh.
These mics are bad that way. Sorry.
Oh, okay, I wondered what that thing was.
Yeah, that's a microphone.
So weird. It's like a sculpture. Okay.
I thought it was an unusual place to put art right there in front of where the guest sits.
Incredible space.
I didn't want to say anything. I thought it was a bit rude.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, so you're describing your stand-up.
Yeah, me. So it's more dialogue-driven now, but I still do the manic physical creations. I like to do when I tell stories on stage, I like to act them out. So I'll become the characters, and I'll also sometimes act out the objects. So using mime, I will become a helicopter or a door or a room. It sounds so bad. But you have to see it.
It sounds either bad or genius.
Yeah.
One of the two.
The boundary leaping.
Yeah, boundary leaping.
Know?
That is what it
and,
says. Yes.
And I also, not just the mime, but what I've done is I've brought in the sound effects. So instead of just a door opening, you'll hear. Like that. And people go, oh, there you go, there's a door. Because a lot of problem with mime is the blind people didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, that's true.
So now I've introduced sound. There's no one that can't get into me.
And okay. If the black guy from the Police Academy movies ever dies, yeah, you're right there to take up for him, right? Well, you can star in the next one.
Yeah, I know. I've been waiting for that, but I think they've done enough of those, haven't they?
Do you know?
Yeah, wasn't there 14 of them?
They have done about 14, yeah. Do you try out new stuff all the time? You try to figure out how to make those sounds with your mouth, or how does that come about?
No, the sound stuff is just natural. I never practiced it.
You're one of those people. Yeah, that just do that.
Sounds, you know, yeah. Helicopters. Hey, with me!
But you don't stand in front of the mirror and do... Nope, that doesn't work.
You can't do it.
No, I don't. I don't know how I just sort of ended up doing these things. And some of the sounds don't sound anything like what they're supposed to sound like, but they're still a unique sound, you know. So but yeah, it was just became natural for me to, when I was telling stories, to sort of act them out. I don't know, and some people would say to me, hey, you don't need to show me what a plane looks like, mate. But it just became part of the act. And then, but over the years, in the early times it was very physical, manic, you know, madness, but I've toned it right down now.
Sit on a recliner?
Well, almost, yeah.
Smoke a pipe?
So I just, I've calmed it down, and so when I want to do something physical, it will suddenly happen, and then I'll come back to my stories. Mm. Yeah.
Now, I hate to put you on the spot. I know some comedians hate this, but I understand that you do a jetpack impression, and I am frankly obsessed with jetpacks. They are my whole life. Is it possible we could hear a little bit of that?
Yeah, sure. Okay, here we go. I'll just put
it on.
Do you
get that request a lot?
First time.
All right.
Okay. All right. Okay, see you later.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And that last part is where he goes head first into the ground.
I love jetpacks too.
Beat has been obsessed with, they've been telling me my whole life that there are going to be jetpacks. Yeah. Why hasn't it happened?
You know what?
He's obsessed with
New
that.
Zealand have developed one recently.
You don't have to say that because you're from New Zealand.
It's the greatest.
Oh, New Zealand does everything. Come on now.
So look out for that. It's coming out this year, I think. It's massive, though. It's a bit more like a giant wings and a great big turbine engines on the back. So it's...
I believe that's just called a plane, Reese. I think you're oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, just a plane. No, it's just that I live on an island, Reese, and I sometimes will stand and look out at the water and go, if I had a jetpack, I wouldn't have to get in my car and drive onto a boat and then take a trip over to the other side. I could literally be on the other side in 10 minutes if I could just fly over the water with a jetpack. Why not?
Well, you can, you know, you can buy them online. I think they're $100,000, though.
Well, that's the rub right there.
Yeah. Who would kill themselves faster than Bean with a jetpack?
How dare you?
He would be dead within 10 seconds of strapping it on.
I would rule with a jetpack. All right, let me ask you this, because I know you said that you're very interested in the acting now, and of course the television show has been great for you. You appeared in Yes Man with Jim Carrey. What other roles do we not know yet that we are going to see Reese Darby in that you've done or are close to doing that we haven't heard about?
Well, I was in Hollywood last May, and I was in a movie, independent film, but I was the lead, and it's a romantic comedy. Mm-hmm. So that's probably going to come out next year, hopefully. I had to be a
what's the rush?
Well, yeah, I played a sexy doctor actually in this one, so I'm not so much the dorky guy that you used to. They dyed my hair a little bit, tanned me a little bit,
sexed you up.
Sexed me up a bit, and but it's
I have a hard time seeing you that way, if you don't mind my saying. I mean, I don't mean to be insulting, because I wouldn't play that either, but
his wife's like, really?
Yeah.
So really? I don't know, we'll see that one coming out.
What's that called?
Okay,
Reese is sexy.
That doesn't seem like much of a name, but
I think they're gonna have some sort of a meeting on the title maybe before they actually release the thing.
That's a placeholder.
Maybe 501 Days of Summer was the title that I'd like to recommend to something that would just automatically catch on.
Yep.
All right, or maybe not. All right, Reese Darby is an evening with tomorrow night at the Music Box at the Henry Fonda Theater. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster or the Fonda box office. You've got to see this guy on stage. Very, very funny. And we have to ask again, just to make sure we understand the very latest information. As far as you know, Reese, no more Flight of the Conchords, or it is in some sort of serious discussion and it may be back, or what's the status for reals?
Yeah, the status on that is it's in a holding pattern.
What if that's not acceptable to us?
I know.
What if we need answers now?
Then what?
I mean, I'd love to say yes, we're back, but I really don't know. But it's definitely not a no either.
Okay. So
it's
that's good.
Especially when we got those Emmy nominations. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like a bit of pressure to come on. You can't finish the show now. Look.
Jermaine got one.
So no, and the show got one.
The show got one, and Jermaine got one. So
we
not
need
Brett
to come back
so much.
So Brett could get one.
Yeah.
I think it was six all up, so there must have been some for...
Six?
Yeah, we've got six nominations, yeah.
Is there someone standing in the way that you know of? Is there a person in the chain of command who says, no, I think it'd be best if we stopped now?
Oh, it's just the guys. Yeah, because it's so much work.
It's the guys.
It's because the music comes first for them. And they have to, the second series, they had to write 20 new songs. And, you know, you've got to have good songs. That's what they are. They're musicians. So, you know, it's that plus the writing of the show. The show writes itself, really. I mean, you can see from season two so many fun adventures that we can go on, and you know, the characters can extend there.
But how they work in the songs each week is what's so fascinating to me.
Yeah, exactly.
I keep trying to figure out, like, is this where they're going to go into a song?
And I think most people would be happy just to have one song each week.
Yeah.
Because they just love the storyline.
I'll take the show with no songs.
Exactly. Some people have even said that. But we'll just have to wait and see. You know, it's up to them. I'll be there. You know, if we want to carry on, I love it. It's my favorite show.
Okay, that's great. Well, that's great news. Well, I hope we hear that there's a way, even if they take a break, if there's a way to then come back and put the show back in the air, because it is terrific. You ought to be checking it out on HBO. They're still running the reruns, and season two is out on DVD next month, by the way, which is great news. People can get that. An Evening with Rhys Darby tomorrow night at the Henry Fonda. Thanks so much for coming in. We enjoyed talking to you, man.
Thank you.
Though, speaking of showbiz stories, Mike alerted us to the fact that TMZ yesterday got a hold of the legendary, much talked about LeBron James dunk video. Now, what's unusual about this is LeBron James isn't doing the dunking. He's the one who's being dunked on, and you don't see that very often.
It's really bizarre, though. The whole thing is bizarre because LeBron James has a basketball camp, and this college kid apparently dunked on LeBron James, and there were video cameras there.
Okay.
And supposedly he and Nike or somebody there went and said, that video can't get out.
Oh,
And they confiscated the video, and there's been a lot of talk about it, but no video of it because they didn't want it to get out.
That's ridiculous.
Right. And my question is, why? Well, I mean, if,
like,
a guy dunks on...
it should never, ever happen ever in this guy's life?
It doesn't make LeBron look bad,
no.
I wouldn't guess, because...
this makes him look bad.
We know what LeBron can do.
Yeah.
So what? A guy dunks on you, but... but they confiscated the video so that it wouldn't get out, as happens sometimes with celebrities.
Yeah.
And there was a dude with a cell phone, as happens a lot of times as well. He snuck it out, and TMZ is going to premiere it, I guess, tonight on their TV show. But the only reason that it's making big news, I would guess, is that
because
LeBron went so far out of their way to hide it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if this is coming from LeBron or somebody else. I don't understand. This doesn't make any sense to me. I'm telling you what, if I'm Nike, I'm figuring out a way to make that into a commercial.
Right, but they don't want that to happen for some reason. I don't even understand.
It's bizarre.
All right, we have Mike Walters, the TMZ news manager, on the phone. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for filling in at the last second. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So the LeBron James video, you have it. Why do you think Nike was trying to hide it so hard? Or was it Nike? Or was it his management? What was the...
Well, okay, first of all, we're told that LeBron actually walked over and said, hey, wait a minute. Somebody just double-handed dunked on my head.
Right.
the kid's a sophomore.
Right, he's a sophomore in college.
Okay,
but my question for you. Everybody knows what LeBron can do. So this kid dunks on you, so you high-five him, you move on.
Yeah, but you know what? Me and you guys, Kevin Devine, look, we're not basketball stars, and we don't play on a regular basis. So I think it's a basketball thing. When you get dunked on going down the lane, two-handed dunk on your head,
I
think it's like a respect thing. It's not about the fact that he's not the king. He is. But it's like, I don't fully understand it either, but I think when you're a basketball player, it's like the ultimate sign of... I don't know if
of domination. It's
dominated.
Yeah, it's being dominated. It is.
In front of everybody and in front of a bunch of high school kids, too.
But we were talking about this earlier today, Mike. Michael Jordan has been dunked on many times in his life. But you know what? Still the greatest basketball player ever. Doesn't diminish it at all that it happened, whether I see it one time or 100 times. He's still Michael Jordan. Same thing with LeBron.
Yeah, but see, okay, with Michael Jordan, like the mailman dunked on Michael Jordan. You know, a kid from, St. John's High School or
Junior's
freshman star didn't dunk ever on Michael Jordan.
So it's because he was a sophomore in college. And a no-name, pretty much.
Right, exactly. And what's interesting is, now, of course, we have the video. We're going to show it tonight. We haven't shown it. We put up a screen grab on our website. Already, people from Xavier, like, these are his boys, like, the guys on his team, his coaches, they're like, let me see the video. Let me see the video.
You mean the guy that dunked on him?
Guy that dunked on him, his name is Jordan. And, you know, he's a top prospect college guy. But the thing is, it's so interesting because our tip line rings, and I answer it. And they're like, hey, so this is blank, blank, blank from Xavier.
Right.
Dude, can I see the video real quick. Just let me see it once. And I said, look, I'll tell you what, I will bring the video to Jordan so he can watch it, but you gotta let me film him saying what he wants to about it so we can at least put that on the show.
So you get something out of it, right?
Yeah.
On TMZ, right?
Now, is it true that the guy that dunked on him was wearing Adidas, and that's why...
Well, okay, that's actually a great point. Guess what? Now, Nike sponsors all these teams. So one of the other phone calls that you know and I know happened this morning was the head of Nike, director of basketball operations, going, okay, look, guys, if anyone says one word about this at all after this airs on TMZ, you guys are wearing Adidas shoes. You might as well get on the phone and call Reebok.
Wow.
You're not going to get your free shoes anymore and our sponsorship money because, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I think it's funny. I don't think you'll hear from him. I mean, of course, you know us. You know Harvey the Hammer. We're going to try to go get him.
From the guy that dunked, you mean, yeah.
Yeah. We're going to go try to get the guy that dunked
of
on
course.
Him. Of course. Of course, right? But I think they're going to go hide from this, too, because they don't want to squash their deals with Nike. I mean, it's Nike. Like, this is – they're making shoes for the entire team for free, and they don't – you know, or whatever. They don't want to mess with that. But
Going into professional basketball, Nike is not an enemy that you want?
Yeah.
Or King James, because guess what? If this kid goes into the NBA next year, which, of course, I guess he's, like, you know, top prospect, LeBron's going to take every chance he gets to do 360, you know, somersault dunks on his head every time he gets a chance.
But that's just, to me, that's just so weird. It just seems like it would have been such a smaller story had they just not said anything.
Right.
And the video came out and everybody would go, wow, look at that kid. And then it would
We'd have already forgotten about it.
Yeah, it would just move on.
Wait, is that Lisa May?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Lisa May.
Hello.
Lisa's got fans everywhere. How about that? Hey, Mike, what do you hear at the moment that it happened? I mean, was there just a team from LeBron's people and from Nike who just accosted this kid with the cell phone and, like, forced him to give it up, or what?
Okay, so the media was there during this. It was a LeBron James camp. The media was there. And then this was a pickup game sort of after the official stuff. And they're claiming that you're not really supposed to be filming, but there was, like, a CBS guy and another guy, like a ESPN University Channel guy, filming. And so there was two tapes that got this dunk on camera.
Right.
But like I said, apparently LeBron went right over to the head of Nike, director of blah, blah, blah basketball, and said, hey, go get those tapes right now. I'm never going to work, arguing about it. So this guy walked over and grabbed all the tapes physically from these guys that had it. And there's been some interviews with both the guys that had it, and I'm sure now they're kicking themselves going, man, I could have had that tape. But apparently it was really quickly, right then, they got any tape.
Interesting.
Now, luckily for TMZ, which you guys have probably seen one or two videos on our show. Like
one
this.
Or two.
Luckily, somebody in the crowd had their camera out, and they weren't, physically accosted by somebody from Nike getting it from them, or whatever. I wasn't there, but you know what I'm saying.
Now, I said earlier that it was a sophomore in college. It's a sophomore in high school?
No, it's a sophomore college,
it is.
But there was high school kids there.
This was a
high school college. It was an invite. It's funny, actually, the guy who dunked on him said, like, the only thing he's ever said about this the next day when it happened, because this is an old story that people have been trying to find this tape.
Right.
He said, he goes, you know what, I actually am just really happy to be invited to this thing. I mean, apparently this is a, like, prestigious invite basketball thing where you go if you're in high school or young college players that are, like, it's the Nike LeBron.
Right, of course.
So yeah, and I read your quotes from that guy the day after where he seemed like a pretty cool guy, the kid. He was like, yeah, you know what, I wish I had it on tape, but it's not that big a deal. It was fun. You know, I mean, he seemed like he was cool about it.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he just, obviously, and like you said it before, it's LeBron James, it's King James. They respect him. These kids want to be him. It's
right,
not
of course.
Like,
that's right.
But again, let me tell you, I've seen the video over and over, which when we got it, of course, eight of us sat around the desk and just kept playing it over and over and over. over.
Sure.
But he dunks on his head. There's no doubt. He drives the lane. He jumps, you know, 8 inches over the top of LeBron. And anyone who's listening right now that plays basketball knows, if you drive the lane and dunk with two hands on the top of the post, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's embarrassing to be the defensive guy. I just think LeBron handled it all wrong. I mean, he should have just said, nice move, man.
Well, and I think I heard you guys talking before. They should make a commercial out of it.
Right.
They should have got the tape. LeBron should have sold it. Maybe take those puppets with Kobe or something and be like, have Kobe dunk on him and then show the video. I mean, they could have made some money off this thing. Yeah. That's what they
should have done. The video is going to premiere on TMZ. Check your local listings in Los Angeles. It's Channel 11 at 6:30. Wherever you're listening, though, definitely check tonight's TMZ. And then what? Around 6:45 West Coast time, you'll put it up on the site as well. Is that right?
Right. We're going to show it on the show, and then hopefully we'll get some reaction from him, and then it'll be on the web right after it airs East Coast time, which I think
East
is
Coast
around 6:45
okay.
p.m.
This is why we love TMZ so much. TMZ.com, TMZ Television. Mike Walters, thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Bean
Show. Mike.
Thank you.
5 p.m. this afternoon, Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde with Paramore in the studio, brought to you commercial-free by Warner Brothers. The Orphan, there's something very wrong with Esther. And I don't know what to say.
I don't care about that,
Esther. Orphan in theaters Friday. Won't you please enjoy? It is 8:58.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Oh, nothing. Just watching TV last night. Who comes on my TV? Adam West on my TV.
Yay! I'm pretty sure it was just for me. I think he did it just for me. It was a commercial.
I guarantee you're the only person who was that excited.
For LendingTree.com?
I guarantee you that.
I don't know if you saw it or
Didn't.
Not. No. It's about us taking control of our own personal economies, of our own finances.
Right.
Becoming the inner superhero that we can be.
Getting a loan from a tree?
And who better? Yes, Kevin. It's about getting a loan from a tree.
Okay.
And who better to tell us about becoming a superhero than the world's greatest superhero himself, Adam West.
Well, old chum, it appears dark days are upon us. Men of ill repute have created a downturn of diabolical proportions. It's time to rise and take control of your own financial destiny. Once and for all.
New financial tools.
So you...
Doesn't that make you want to put a cape on? When he talks to you that way?
No.
God, he's the best.
No. I don't want to put a cape on.
I do.
I want to get a loan from a tree.
Just a cape.
Only a cape and nothing else?
Just put a cape on, yes.
Yeah. Pure West.
Now, Ralph, the Dangler. That'd be my superhero name. Me in a cape, naked.
And how do you fight crime?
The Dangler. By smacking you with my voluminous...
Using it as a lasso.
I got that.
You are Friday morning going to be broadcasting from San Diego from the Comic-Con. And thanks to our friends at Wired.com, you'll be in a booth there. And is it true that the great TV's Batman, Adam West, is going to be stopping by and joining you that morning?
We're working on it. He's got some logistic issues. He's got so much to do that weekend that we're going to try to get him up early and see if we can have him stop by the cafe, the Wired Cafe there at the hotel. So.
He's trying to avoid Ralph.
No, he is not. He's trying to accommodate my needs.
As well he should.
He's going to be busy. He's got a new DVD he's going to be talking about down there. And they've got him on a panel of experts discussing the character of the Joker. He's one of the people on that panel. Who would know better than the man who has fought him so many times over the years in Gotham City?
All right. Is there anything else? Because you're boring me.
Wow.
You're boring me.
Well,
I'm just saying you're boring me.
I didn't know that was a prerequisite, keeping you entertained.
I'm bored already.
I didn't realize that was my job. I'm sorry.
I'm excited about Friday's show and hearing what Ralph's got from Comic-Con, by the way.
Shut up, Bean.
What do
you
know?
God, I'm so bored.
Meanwhile, in showbiz news...
I want to hear more about the Dangler.
Megan Fox says...
Oh!
That don't believe the rumors about her playing the next Bond girl in the next James Bond movie.
She's not?
No. Oh. She says her schedule's just nuts for the next couple years. But she would consider a role... opposite 007 somewhere down the road, if only she could play a nasty villain that was a big part of the script. She doesn't want to play just the eye candy. She wants to play a bad guy.
Okay.
Not so much thinking from you, Miss Fox.
She could be a villain to the Dangler in my new movie.
Yes.
My new big budget, big screen version of the legendary hero, the Dangler.
The Dangler.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm pretty sure, not to, you know, rain on your late-breaking showbiz news, but I'm pretty sure the King of Mexico covered the Bond controversy with Megan Fox when he interviewed her on the red carpet from Transformers.
I apologize. That's the case. Wow, I don't remember that question. I know he asked us several questions. I didn't know that was one
of
them.
He got a lot in.
Yeah.
Well, I got the tape. Let's see. I think it comes up.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. That was the whole interview.
Oh, no. She said, I have one question. Hello.
That did happen. And she was standing
not
right in front
question,
of him.
Turns out.
No.
No. Weezer's almost finished with its new album.
Oh.
Weezer, really? Weezer on the on their website says that it doesn't have a title yet, but it could be out as early as the end of the year.
Great news.
They also said they're releasing a deluxe edition of their critically acclaimed but poor-selling second album, Pinkerton. So, Weezer fans, gear up. It's going to be a big Weezer year. Glad to see Rivers working hard. Sometimes he takes some time off. We don't hear from them for a while.
He does sometimes.
He goes off to Harvard, gets degrees.
Or stays in his apartment for 2 years without ever going outside.
Right. There's that, too. And this is disgusting. A new documentary claims to show the real Michael Jackson.
Uh-oh.
It is being put together by mentalist Uri Geller.
Well, what?
I don't know if
he's
you guys
where you go
know
for all the accurate information.
Uri and I, but they apparently were friends for a while. So what he has done is taken all of his personal home movies of him and Michael and stitched it together into what he's claiming is a documentary called My Friend Michael Jackson, Uri's Story.
Is this just a giant hey, look at me?
Yeah. It will air, apparently, in the UK first before it hits the States. But he says he has footage of Michael shopping in a department store, visiting a soccer field, and acting as his best man at Uri's wedding. So you get to see all those insights into the real Michael Jackson.
Sad week. So many things happened, a lot of deaths. And, of course, Michael Jackson, yeah. World phenomena.
He was a phenomena.
You're also a butt pirate.
Oh, no!
What?
Today's celebrity birthdays: Terrence Stamp, who is a British actor who's been good in so many things. He's the voice of Jor-El on Smallville. If you ever watched that show over there in the CW,
oh yeah,
he's the voice of Superman's dad from Krypton. Also, has another Superman connection. He played General Zod in Superman 1 and 2.
Kneel before Zod,
and made everyone kneel
before Zod.
Before Zod. Lisa May drops to her knees every time I play that clip
she
for
does.
Some reason. I think
she's
just used to...
I can't help myself.
She's used to accommodating that request, I think. Lisa May's 71 today.
Nope.
Oh, I'm sorry. Terrence Stamp is 71. Actor, comedian, director Albert Brooks is 62. Brother of Super Dave Osborne. Did you know that?
What?
No. Albert Brooks is Super Dave Osborne's brother.
I don't think so.
Isn't that bizarre?
It's absolutely true.
That's weird.
They are both... the family name is actually Einstein.
Shut up.
It's Dave and Albert Einstein.
That's
the two
not
brothers.
True.
It is absolutely true.
Wow.
That's why Albert Brooks changed his name, because he didn't want to be Albert Einstein, as you can imagine.
Can't blame him.
There's a little trivia for you. Willem Dafoe is 54. Yeah. David Spade is 45, as is John Leguizamo. Franka Potente from The Bourne Identity and from Run Lola Run is 35. And Selena Gomez from The Wizards of Waverly Place. Oh.
Was that the Dangler?
Bean?
Dangler just threw it up on the desk.
Put it on the glass.
17 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We have a room full of people.
Woo!
We got a lot of paramours
in here right now, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Party.
The band is in town because a couple of hours from right now, they're going to be on stage at the Gibson Amphitheater in support of No Doubt. That is a sold-out show tonight at the Gibson. How are you guys? Welcome back to K-Rock.
Thank you.
We are really good.
I know that you're probably jaded now because you're big-time rock stars, but you're freaking opening for No Doubt all across North America. That has got to be a sweet gig.
It's not really a big deal at all.
Yeah. Tiny thing.
We're so stoked. I mean, like, the tour is almost over. I think we have, like, a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks left. And we're still just as excited. Like, we still watch just about every night and, like, get stoked. And it's awesome.
How did it all begin? How did that start?
We got a call.
Well, first the earth cooled, Kevin.
No, not that far back.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So the No Doubt tour, is that?
Yeah, how'd you guys get hooked? Because I remember at Christmas time, that Tony from No Doubt was at our acoustic Christmas concert, and
That's
then right. He said, "We got to go meet Haley because they're going to play on our opening. They're going to play on our concert." And then he came back to me. He's like, "Don't tell anybody that. We're not supposed to say anything yet." How did that all start? Somebody just called and said, "Would you be interested?" And
yeah, I mean, they contacted our management, and of course, our management called us.
And did you say we don't open?
Yeah.
We don't open
Give
for
us
No
tons
Doubt.
Of cash. No, yeah, it was like no hesitance whatsoever. It's kind of a easy decision.
And the thing about No Doubt, besides the fact that it seems like your music and their music is kind of compatible, so it makes sense as a double bill, you have to look at a group like that that's been around for like 20 years and say, wow, that's a role model. That's a way to pattern yourself and survive in this business and continue to be great.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, if we could follow that career path, then I don't think there's not really – there aren't really any other bands like them, and we've gotten a lot of No Doubt comparisons over the past few years, and it's so flattering. Like it's that's, you know, easily the best comparison we could get if we're going
to
get
you
one.
Would have to go off on your own and do dance music with Japanese dancers.
Oh yeah, about that.
Everybody tells me my stomach looks just like Gwen Stefani.
Is that right?
Wow. Everybody tells me I look like Tony.
Let's. We have Paramore here on Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde on the world famous Q-Rock. We just heard the new song called Ignorance, which is the first single from a new album coming out in September called Brand New Eyes. Tell us about Ignorance. We love songwriters and we love stories about how ideas translate into music. You guys, what's the story behind this one?
Do you want to talk about it?
Who's ignorant?
I think you got the wrong people. We don't write our songs.
Yeah.
We don't write our own songs.
Yeah.
We just get sent over.
What are those two people that write songs for a lot of people?
I don't know.
Probably two people.
Just two guys.
Didn't we use them?
So, I don't know. Do you want to talk about where the music came from? Because I remember you were pretty frustrated before you wrote that about music.
No, you take it away.
I'll take it away.
It's not that interesting.
Well, I just remember we were at the practice space. We sort of set up in a studio and did pre-production, you know, alone for maybe a month and a half before we went out with Rob Cavallo. We were trying to write, and Josh was getting really frustrated because he was like, I'm never going to write another song like Misery Business, guys, okay? I'm never going to write another cool riff or anything, blah, blah, blah. And he's like really down on himself, and we were like, okay, fine, whatever, you know. Nope, you know, you don't have to pressure yourself. And then, as soon as we all sort of quiet down, he just starts playing this riff, and we're like, well, that's good.
That's a pretty good one.
That's fine. Just keep doing that. And we recorded it, and I went home. And, you know, there had been some tension, when we were writing, because, you know, there was a lot of stuff that we went through as a band growing and, just having sort of growing pains, you know, especially after Riot and coming up from that. Mm-hmm. But, It was tough, and there were a lot of things that I think went unsaid. Mm-hmm. And when I took the track home, it was just, you know, all the instruments. And, I went home and put it in my car, and I sat in the parking lot because I don't like listening from my computer. I like it to be right there in my car.
You sit in your car and listen by yourself?
Yeah, I do. Okay. It's nerdy. But
all right.
And I just started, singing along. And
you were thinking, these guys that I work with are ignorant.
I was thinking, these are
right?
The dumbest dudes. No, but really, you know, we were all, there was, a lot of attention, and yeah, I guess that there were things that I hadn't said, and I was angry at, you know, I didn't really know it until I started singing these words and writing it all down, and came into practice the next day, really nervous, and showed everyone, and I didn't even think they were going to understand what I was saying, because it's, kind of fast, and everyone was like, wait a minute. Hold up. Is that about us? And
wow.
I was like,
no, yeah. It's about this other band that goes out.
She tried to mumble it just so we didn't know what she was saying.
How did you know that?
And I'm like, Haley, what are those lyrics?
Yeah.
See, I would like to point out that you guys sold yourself short, because that is a fascinating story. And that's exactly what I was hoping to hear, is because people hear a song like that. They go, where did it come from? That's a very cool story. Actually.
Oh, I was just saying the music wasn't interesting. I mean,
yeah, no.
Coming up with the music was kind of, but Haley's stories are always good. Are you kidding?
You guys,
I'm a talker.
Always write that way. You come up with the music first, and then Haley figures out what works.
99% of the time, except for Crush, Crush, Crash. That was all Haley started with that one, lyrically first.
I heard that's how Morrissey does it, so I'm down.
Well, Morrissey does it that
just
way.
Just riding the coattails.
It's always best if your music starts first, though.
I like it better that way. Why?
Well, it is working for you. The band Paramore is here. We have to take a quick break. By the way, thanks to Warner Brothers and their new film, Orphan, we are going commercial free. So we're going to get right back into some Nirvana here on K-Rock. Take a quick break while we listen to that, and then come back and talk more with Paramore after this. Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde on the world famous K-Rock.
Paramore in the studios with us. Love
Yay!
Them.
Yay! Exciting.
They are on their way to the Gibson tonight for a big sold-out show with No Doubt. That is at Universal. And I guess you're playing on Monday, I want to say, at the Verizon. Do I have that right? I don't have it in front of me. I think it's Monday you're playing the Verizon.
We don't ever know our schedule.
You don't have no idea where you're going to be.
I think that's Gibson as well.
Oh, okay, it's also... Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, you get that's nice.
Sounds right. I agree.
The new album is called Brand New Eyes, and it will come out on September the 29th. So after you're done with No Doubt, are you guys going to go out on another tour, a headlining tour to support the album? Is that the plan?
Yes. We are. In the fall, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a smaller tour, a little more intimate than No Doubt's 5 million people per show.
Yeah.
we're going to play theaters and such, 2,000 cap rooms, so.
How do y'all get along living on a bus when you're on a big tour?
We don't. We fight all the time. Especially me and Haley. Fist fight.
We do. It's true. I have
There's
bruises.
A reason Bean and I live in separate cities. And we can't get along. That's why. No, but that seems like it would be... You're in each other's space a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That seems like it would be a pain in the ass.
I think the difference, like, now... Because I feel like we're a lot better off now, especially after having written this record... it feels healthier because we actually do fight. Like, we actually do, like, if we have a problem, we say it, get it out, and then, like, 5 minutes later, it's done. Whereas maybe a year and a half ago or when we started touring, you just kind of hold it in and
just
like,
get more angry and more
yeah,
angry.
Yeah, you know? So, I don't know. It's learning, and we're growing up.
Aww.
We're growing up, guys.
That's sweet. The kids in Paramore are growing up.
I know, Haley, from your tweets that you are often touched by some of the fans that you meet on the road, and you're overwhelmed, it seems like, sometimes by how much they love your band and how much your music means to them. I mean, it does seem like you do encounter that a lot on the road. But Paramore fan number one could not be with us here today because he's in New York. And we're going to call our friend Dave Sanchez on the phone right now. You remember Dave, the King of Mexico.
We just saw him the other day.
Yeah, we told him not to tell you he was with us.
Dave, of course, went backstage, I think, in Chicago at your show there. Dave, who's Paramore fan number one, is out of town on the day that you stopped by K-Rock. It was just hilarious to us that he can't be here.
That is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Remember, he
so I want to call and rub it in and tell him we're all nude and we're having a party.
Where was it? It was in Chicago that he ran into you guys?
Yeah.
Chicago?
No.
Chicago.
No, it wasn't Chicago.
Yeah, it was. That's where my dad came, so it was Chicago.
Hey, King.
Yo.
Hey, dude. It's Kevin and Bean. We're in here with Paramore. How you doing?
Hey, man.
Dave, why aren't you here? I thought you loved Paramore. What's wrong, dude?
Yeah, man.
I'm very upset with you.
Yeah, we lost your glove.
No, guys, don't be upset. I'm in New York City right now filming a major motion picture.
Tell them why you're there. They won't believe it.
Yeah, I'm filming a Step Up 3D.
He's in Step Up 3D.
No!
Yes.
No!
I know you guys are fans of that.
I know
what kind of moves you got?
Oh, dude, I got all kinds of moves.
Only all of them?
I do everything from the robot to the kickworm to the Mrs. Butterworth. You know,
do the Mrs. Butterworth?
I do the Mrs. Butterworth.
Wow.
Mrs. Butterworth.
That's great.
All right. Now, besides the fact that Dave should be here, because it's crazy that Paramore is at K-Rock and he is it, we have to find out really honestly what you guys thought when Dave brought his ratty fingerless gloves to you and presented them backstage in Chicago last week as if it was a cat bringing you a rat. I mean, you had to throw that thing away so fast the minute he left your trailer, didn't you?
I think it did have some type of stench. I think it had AIDS.
Yeah.
The glove had AIDS.
The glove had AIDS?
Yeah. Yeah, we threw it away.
Yeah, that's...
Where'd you put it?
Dude! You brought that thing to us and it stunk up the whole front lounge.
What did you think they were going to do with it, Dave? I mean, you didn't think they'd put it on their wall.
Oh, yeah. You know, I thought Haley was going to post it up above her bunk.
They couldn't
just, hang it in my bunk with all my pictures.
They couldn't have thrown it away faster. It doesn't mean they don't appreciate you wearing them, but they don't want it back afterwards. It wasn't a loan program.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll bring the other glove to San Francisco.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Good.
Okay.
Nobody wants your used clothes, Dave. That's the point we're all trying to tell you. This is an intervention. You have to stop giving away your sweaty stuff.
I can't use it anymore. So,
do you still have your Paramore sunglasses? Do you still have those?
I'm rocking them right now in New York City.
Yeah.
And I bet they look awesome. I bet
you should give them to these guys as well. They would love that.
No.
All right, Dave. Well, listen, go get on a plane and come home. All right, man?
I'm on a plane in about an hour.
All right.
All right.
It's funny that Paramore's here and you're not.
I know. It sucks so bad. But I'll see him Saturday. See you guys Saturday.
Woo!
All right, bye, Dave.
Right. See you later. Wow. All right, we're about out of time. But listen, you guys, this album is coming out in September. We've barely scratched the surface of all the things that we want to ask. We need to insist that you come back in at some point when the album comes out, and we can spend a little bit more time talking about the magic and the music of Paramore, right?
That would be awesome.
So it's finished now, and between now and September 29th, it's just a holding pattern, kind of?
Yes, I mean, it's been this since, like, we finished. Feels like we don't even have a new record
when
yet.
Did you finish?
Two
and a half months ago.
So it was
It's just sitting around waiting.
Yep.
Yeah. Sure would like to come out. Sure would like to be born. That would be great.
Seriously.
Are you able to do songs from the new record besides Ignorance because you're afraid that, you know, somebody's going to tape it and get it out on the internet before the record? Or what do you deal on that?
We do one other one. It's called Where the Lines Overlap. We don't, I mean, if we could, we'd play like five new ones. Yeah. But we need to keep it. on the DL. It needs to be a surprise, you know?
Yeah, we'll save them.
All right, you guys, have a great time with No Doubt tonight. We'll see you soon, all right?
Thank you.
Yeah. Later.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Then we get right back to the K-Rock music. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, Russell Crowe is a pretty good person.
Yeah?
He's got a bad rap.
Well, he does seem to have a temper.
He does throw phones at people's heads and whatnot.
It happens.
There's that.
And he broke up a couple marriages and stuff.
Sure.
He's had some bad PR lately.
Well, who hasn't done that?
But that may all change. On the set of his new movie, Robin Hood, he found out that a boom mic operator named Denise was late to the set while they were shooting in England because her car caught on fire.
Okay.
Which led to some teasing from the cast and crew because she was driving a POS.
Right.
And here the girls, you know, it's bad enough. Her car burst into flames, but then people are mocking her for driving an old crappy car, which is all she could afford. So Russell joined in on some of the mocking, and apparently she took it in pretty good spirits. So he, he was mocking her, and she zinged him with, well, it's okay for you, Russell Crowe. You probably never had to worry about finding $8,000 for a new car. Well, he bought her a car.
Wow.
Russell Crowe bought her a 2007 Saab. $16,000.
How about
nice.
That?
He just laid out and bought her a new car. So,
but did he throw it at her?
Then he threw it at her head. Yes. She's now dead. Sobs hit her right in the head.
The story does not have a good ending.
It's a sob story is what it is.
Diggity.
No.
Apparently, there's a feud going on between Seth Rogen and the creators of Entourage.
No.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if you caught Sunday's show, the second in this young season for Entourage, but they were talking about how Seth Rogen is perhaps too ugly to have ended up with a Katherine Heigl type in real life, like he did in his movie Knocked Up.
Right.
Uh-huh. There was a line in there that said, "His ugliness is oddly fascinating," said one of the actors. Well, Seth didn't take too kindly to it. In fact, he said he ran into Kevin Dillon once at a Starbucks, and Kevin apologized to him because apparently the guy who created the show, Doug Ellen, doesn't like him very much. Seth says, "I said, well, I have reason to believe that Doug Ellen is a moron, from all I can understand, so it makes sense he doesn't like me. Luckily, I never have and never plan on watching Entourage, so..."
Wow.
The gauntlet has been thrown. I guess he won't be guest starring in one of those hilarious little cameos.
It is odd. Yeah. How can you not like Seth Rogen, by the way? What is there not to like about Seth Rogen? He seems like a very cool guy.
Jew.
Well, maybe that's it. I don't know. But
maybe Doug Ellen's a Nazi. I don't know.
I'm guessing not.
I didn't see this week. Was this the Entourage where Ari yelled at somebody and Eric was talking about maybe getting back together with Sloan and Drama was complaining he wasn't a big enough star? Is that the episode?
That was that episode, yeah. And they weren't sure if Vince was going to be able to do the movie or not. There's a lot of tension. Or he had a new movie coming out and everybody was very upset.
So. It's Ari, by the way. But other than that, you were right on.
How dare you? How dare you? Well, they're taking another video game and turning it into a movie.
Oh, good.
Hard to believe.
What? Oh my God. Just happened.
I had a clot go right to my brain.
Wow.
War of Warcraft. What? Excuse me. World of Warcraft.
There you go.
Let me try that again. Meanwhile,
no one's heard of this.
World of Warcraft, the video game, immensely popular multiplayer online video game, is going to be made into a feature film.
That is a terrible idea.
Looks like Sam Raimi, director of Spider-Man 1 through 3, will be at the helm.
Sounds better than Monopoly, the game, and some of those other ones. That
That's true. Viewmaster.
The movie.
Viewmaster.
You sunk my battleship.
Apparently, he will supervise the film's development and shoot it after he completes work on Spider-Man 4, which gets underway early next year. So you may have to wait a little while, you WOW fans, but you will get your motion picture soon enough.
Ralph, forgive my ignorance. I've never played the World of Warcraft, but is it a battlefield story about armies that fight or what?
No, it's about demons and wizards and elves and slotniks and
magic.
And magic.
I think if they do it right, it actually could be a pretty cool movie.
It'll be like a Lord of the Rings type of deal, you know, with the mythical creatures and warriors and battling, and you have to find stuff, and you when you die, your spirit goes to another realm, and then you get to come back to life and stuff. That's the basis
of the
game. Sounds
like there's at least something there for a movie, you know, if it's done right.
No, I think, you know, just taking the characters alone, and if they could build a decent story around them, yeah, that could be a fun fantasy film, and Sam Raimi certainly is an accomplished director when it comes to horror and fantasy.
Sure.
So I think you pull it off.
W-O-W. Wow.
That's right. That's what they call it. It's
take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Don Henley, drummer and singer of the Eagles. Which, but how dare you give thumbs down to the Eagles, Psycho Mike?
Oh, the worst.
Eagles is one of the one of the classic rock bands that Kevin actually even likes.
The worst.
I like them. They're all right, but...
They're not the worst.
I wouldn't defend them.
But they're certainly not the worst.
They're not the worst. No. There are a lot of people that are worse
There's
than
a
them.
Lot of good music there that band has created.
It's just so, like, a cookie cutter and happy and unthreatening. And the thing I can thank the Eagles for is that because of the bands like the Eagles, punk rock came about. Because it was like
you.
Reaction to all that bland limo, cocaine, California BS crap rock.
They have a lot of stuff.
Eagles!
They have a lot of stuff that's not all happy and peppy and stuff. There's a lot of circumspect songs in their repertoire.
They're deep.
Victims of Love. A Victim of Love. I love that song. Victim of Love.
Sing it.
Victim of Love.
Why would you ask him to sing it?
Victim of Love.
Why would you
I could be wrong, but I'm not. No, I'm not. Love that.
That is good.
Yeah. Let's see. Willem Dafoe is 54 years old today. Comedian, actor, director Albert Brooks, who was born Albert Einstein 62 years ago, celebrates his birthday. John Leguizamo is 45. David Spade, also 45 years old. Franca Potente,
hey,
from The Bourne Identity and from Run, Lola, Run, is 35. Selena Gomez,
from The Wizards of Waverly Place,
is 17 years old today. And Danny Glover, longtime partner of Mel Gibson, I said Brooks, in all those Lethal Weapon movies.
Sure.
He's 62 years old today. I think he's too old for this.
Yeah.
That's what I hear. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show, Biz B.